Good evening, everybody. Welcome to NLA's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, June 8th, 2015. And we broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to midnight. If you're listening live over another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, our call-in number is 605-562-3140. Participant code is 385-698. All radio hosts are invited into the queue if they have a question or a comment. If anybody would like to ask a question through email, send your questions to questions@nationallibertyalliance.org, and we'll ask your question next week. Please support our business partners. See their banners on the right side of our website, which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save America. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right. And now a moment to look into the mind of God. Let's look into the scriptures. Reading tonight is Proverbs chapter 9, 1 through 8, wisdom's invitation and the warning to avoid the house of fools. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewed out her seven pillars. Before we go any further on that, I just want to compare a piece of scripture with that seven pillars of wisdom. We find that in 2 Peter chapter 15, verse 11, and a few verses here, actually. Talking about giving diligence and to add to your faith virtue. Virtue is one of the pillars of the house of wisdom. Virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, number two, and to knowledge, temperance, number three, and to temperance, patience, number four, and to patience, godliness, number five, to godliness, brotherly kindness, number six, and to brotherly kindness, charity, number seven. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to making your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. For it is in this fashion an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, back to Proverbs. Wisdom hath built her house. She has hewed out the seven pillars. Her seven pillars. She has killed her beast. She has mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath set forth her maidens. She crieth upon the high places in the city. Whosoever is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Maybe the administrators could mute themselves, because we're getting noises over the air here. For say, come eat my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. He that rebuketh a wicked man getteth to himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instructions to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house, on a seat in the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their way. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Proverbs chapter 9. Okay, tonight we have some really important news to talk about, and let's see, before we get started, I want to just give a minute or two to Paul from, where is Paul? From Rare Coins. Paul, hit star six to get into our queue, Paul. Paul from the silver, hit star six, and then I think it'll tell you to hit star one or something like that, but hit star six to get into the queue. Gerard, you were talking with Paul before. I don't know if you recognize his number. Maybe we can unmute him through his number, but I don't see him coming into the queue here.
Yeah, I'll look and see.
He should be he's down in Long Island, so I don't know. Was it Long Island a 212 number? 212 is New York City, but I don't know if it goes out to the island.
No, it's like what is it, like 716 or something like that?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think that's what it is. So, Paul, star six to get into the queue. Star six. I should have wrote his number down. All right. While we're waiting for Paul to get into the queue, if we can't get him into the queue, we'll try to catch him after the what we're going to share tonight. Let's see. We're going to be meeting Tuesday. I thought about this, maybe doing a little later, but I think we're going to do it a lot quicker. We're going to meeting Tuesday, that's tomorrow evening, instead of having our board meeting, which, if we don't go too long, we'll have a short board meeting after this meeting. But we're calling out, and I'll put an email out. We're going to consider our first federal indictments of three judges. I'm not going to discuss any of it tonight, but we will be talking about it in depth tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So we want to pull a grand jury together, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here in this room. And we will lay out the evidence on three judges, and then we're going to consider voting for an indictment. Gerard, were you able to find him? Let me scroll to see if he got into the queue. 613, I think that's it. Hang on a second.
John, you found me.
There you
is
go.
That you? Okay.
I don't know why the star six wasn't working. As a matter of fact, when I was on earlier, for some reason, my phone went down, and I went through hell calling, trying to get back in.
Hmm.
So.
Well, we were pretty busy tonight, a little more busy than normal, so
that's
we'll see
okay.
How we go.
I'll be brief. I appreciate the time, and I know you have a busy schedule tonight.
Okay, go right ahead.
I just wanted to comment on the fact that, okay, we all already know that in a dark room at 3 o'clock in the morning on a weekend, they did the financial legislation where instead of bailout now, it's bail-in, and that means that if that ever happens, you go to the bank to get your 50 grand, they can give you stock instead of your money. They're moving towards the paperless. J.P. Morgan, this is big news. J.P. Morgan, which has been the biggest suppressor of the price of silver for the last 5 years on the commodities market, just took physical delivery, mind you, of 12 million ounces of silver. This is huge. This is huge because it lets me know they know something we don't know, as usual. And they usually do all of their manipulation and trading on paper. And that's the stuff that's going to blow up. Okay? So I just wanted to comment on that. I have so many clients who bought silver when it was $38 an ounce. Okay? I haven't known you folks that long. Silver is $16 an ounce. You're supposed to buy this when nobody wants it. Don't worry about it going $2 one way or $2 another way. If you wait till John Q. Public wants to start buying it because he starts to panic, the price of silver goes up as fast as a racehorse. Okay, and the premiums on it go up. So, as I said, when J.P. Morgan takes 12 million ounces physical delivery, they are no longer being short on the price of silver. And there's a reason they want to hold it. So I'm just wanted to give a word of encouragement to everyone, to whatever their ability. This is, they're coming down on gold and silver dealers, just like gun dealers, ammunition dealers, and manufacturers. They're squeezing us out of the banks. They won't let us put cash in it anymore. It's a necessity of our business. They're making it impossible. This is the last source, in my opinion, that you'll ever be able to have of private wealth. Because I think after this, just like in Europe, in a good socialist country, everything's going to have to be electronic that you spend, and they're going to know and approve every nickel that you spend. So, something's coming. I don't have a crystal ball. If I did, I'd be fishing in St. Thomas right now.
Okay, Paul, let me thank you for that.
Okay?
We appreciate it.
I just wanted to put that out there, all right? You can get me on the website.
All right, thanks, Paul. Yeah, okay. You can. If anybody interested in buying silver, and that's my personal favorite, is silver. I don't have any gold. I like the silver coins, the old silver coins. They call it junk silver. And because everybody understands the silver dollar, the silver half dollar, the quarter, the silver quarter, and the silver dime, everybody understands that. And a reset of that will bring it back. And bear in mind, back in 1913, when the Fed came into play, and prior to that, all the way back to our founding fathers, from our founding fathers right up to 1913, 1 ounce of silver cost exactly $18.94. Now that fluctuated by 2 cents, maybe 4 cents, up and down over a 100-year period. Okay, and of course after the Federal Reserve came into play in 1913, almost immediately after that, the cost of silver and the cost of gold started to go up. The value of the dollar obviously went down, and today your dollar is about, somewhere about 4 cents, maybe. It gone down as little as 2 cents when gold went to about $2,000 an ounce or close to it. The dollar was valued at about 2 cents an ounce. But right now, I think it probably is reasonable to say it's about 4 cents an ounce. I mean, 4 cents. The dollar is 4 cents. What am I saying? An ounce? I mean, per dollar. The dollar is worth, the paper dollar is worth 4 cents, and it really isn't worth anything because it's a credit and it's a debt.
And an ounce of gold was 18, not silver. You said silver.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, an ounce of gold was $18.94 in silver. So you figure 20, 40, 60, 80, 100, that's 5 ounces of, that's you'd be able to get 5 ounces of gold for $100 of silver. Now, also, I've heard and been watching the price of silver may even go 2, 3, 4, possibly as high as 5 times its actual value. And that's probably why they're buying it up real quick, because they're getting ready for the global currency reset. That's the key. That's the crystal ball. That's what's going to happen. They're going to reset the currency. So anybody who doesn't have silver or gold, and I would suggest silver because, again, it's a good exchange, once they crash the market, things are going to be real tight for a few months, so you better have some food if you don't have food. And after a couple of months, as long as we're not taken over by darkness, which I don't think we will be, in my opinion, I think what we're doing is going to prevent it. But in any event, if we're not taken over by darkness in a couple of months after that, as long as you've got the food to survive that long, there'll be trading going on. And people will be taking the silver coins. You'll have money if you're putting it away now. And its value would be huge, huge. You'd be able to feed your entire family for a week, let's say a family of 3 to 4, on 1 or 2 silver dollars. That's how great the value would be. So silver is the key, in my opinion. Junk silver is my favorite. It's hard to trade silver bars, to be honest with you. The coins are the key. All right, anyway, just to cover these other things, we're looking at a company right now who sells generators, and we may put them up on our site because, again, we don't just sell any products or anything. We look for something that people would need in our day and age, so to speak, the problems that are coming up. And so we're only selling things that really people should be buying anyway. But the other thing is that I lost my train of thought here. Anyway, oh, yeah. So we're not here to make money on it per se, but we're trying to make money to support the work that we're doing here. We have finished spending all of the money for the faxes. We're now broke for faxes. We do have more faxes we want to send out, but we're kind of sitting on the wind here, just hanging in there and hoping that people put up money, give us some more money in order to get those faxes out. So if anyone out there hasn't been given to us, we'd appreciate it if you started giving. And anybody who isn't given $5 a month, we'll ask, give us $5 a month. If our membership gave us $5 a month, everyone all the way through, we'd have plenty of money. We'd be doing some fantastic things. But we're doing fantastic things anyway, without money, on a shoestring operation. But to send out more faxes, and we have been sending out faxes, we sent out about 1.4 million faxes. Pages of faxes in the past 2.5-3 weeks. We have copied all of the papers that we have filed up online. Well, we have copied all of them to every single elected official on the state and federal level, and also appointed individuals such as U.S. Marshals and also special agents in charge of the FBI. There's one for each one of the federal courts. There's 94 of them and 94 marshals. So we've sent copies to those people also. And, of course, we sent copies to the county sheriff, every single county sheriff in America. We are lacking some of their fax numbers, but we did the best. I think we got it out to about 27 or 2,800 sheriffs, and if we can possibly find. But we also have been sending out to a lot of sheriffs through email. So what we lack in fax, we may have picked up in email. I'm sure it's not a perfect match, so we may very well have gotten to every single sheriff. I did get a message back from one sheriff recently. Matter of fact, today I was opening it up right before the program and just looking at it. And he didn't really say much, but he put our front page and back, and he sent me a page of something, something about our founding fathers, and he seemed to be right on the mark. So I think we're already starting to see some sheriffs, I think, that are on board and understand the problem. And he talked about the evil in the courts, and so on. It was just a little statement that he had made in the paper that he had sent to us. So they're watching, they're seeing, and today the sheriffs and all these individuals received our final paper. It's not really our final paper, but it's our final planned paper, the paper that we were trying to get to, the paper that we could not send until we first primed the pumps. And we have primed the pumps, and we've been doing so for quite some time, but particularly in the last 2 weeks, we've been sending out these mandamuses after the quo warranto. We resent out the quo warranto, and then we sent out the mandamuses. A total of 7 papers, and those papers tell the whole story of what's going on, where we're at, and what's happening. Those papers are an indictment against the elected individuals who are not acting. Those papers are the lessons necessary for the sheriff to be able to perform their duties. Any sheriff that reads through all those papers very, very carefully, they will understand what their job truly is. They will understand that they are constitutional sheriffs. They are constitutional officers, and it is their duty. They're not out here to be a code enforcement officer, to give anyone a ticket or do any of that garbage. Their job is to be on alert for government violations of people's unalienable rights and to protect the people within their county. That's their constitutional duty. And we have informed them of that, and we have told them that they need to really get on the ball and learn. Now, we're very patient with the sheriffs, and we're going to give them a lot of leeway and time to learn and get on board and do the right thing before we start indicting those individuals. But I truly believe that there are very, very few sheriffs that are that wicked, that won't look at these things and will refuse to change their ways and will not receive the papers that we've given to them joyfully. They may not all have received the papers we've given to them joyfully because they've been given a pre-understanding of who we are, the sovereign citizen group or some nation, something like that. But once they read the papers, and I think that a lot of them did, once they read the papers, they'll understand that that was a lie. Now, we're not anything involved with any of those kind of people, and we're not crazy, and all we want is our country back. We want our republic back. Our founding fathers created a common law process, and these evil people, through the Bar Association, shut down the common law in America. And so we don't have common law anymore, but we do have it because that is the law of the land. That is the law that we, the people, ordained and established, and we're going to reestablish that, and we're going to take it to them, and we're going to put them all in jail unless they conform and start doing the right thing. We're going to put them all in jail. And I really, truly don't think it's going to take that long. I think today's paper was the line in the sand. Today's paper revealed to them all their sins, and to every sheriff sees the sins of the just judges, the sins of our elected individuals, the sins of all these people who are not doing their job, who are not upholding the Constitution and its capstone Bill of Rights. Now, the Constitution is a common law document. The Bill of Rights is a common law document. It talks about unalienable rights. They say that common law is no more. That means there is no Constitution. There is no Bill of Rights. We put a new video up on our front page. As a matter of fact, we put two new videos up on our front page. And when you get a chance, maybe you go listen to them, watch them, and pass them around. We need the one that we did up on subversion, the one that's going to be we're talking about tonight. We need that one put up anywhere you can get it. We need people to get this message, and we need to get it out hardcore. And by the way, we have sent everything we've sent to the elected individuals to over 6,000 media, what would you call them, entities, I guess, you know, newspapers, local TV stations, all the way across America, over 6,000. So they should be getting the news. They should be getting the word. And I don't know if anybody's reporting on local ends. You know, people are coming here from across the country, across the nation. And if anybody has read newspapers or seen any stories about what we're doing, we'd like to hear about that. That's for sure.
Hey, John.
Okay. Yeah.
Just a point of interest. I got some news yesterday that in the schools, the academies, the state trooper academies, they have lawyers there advising the students when they approach a car on what language they should be using because they're enforcing contract law. They're actually telling them this, that there are certain things that they need to say and how to keep the conversation around so that the person is contracting with them at the window of the car. So if they're telling them that, then what's happening is the Bar Association has now, you know, is understanding that we're understanding, and they're trying to, you know, fix the guy on the side of the road. I mean, that's not the place to do it, but obviously they're concerned about it because why are they teaching them this?
Right.
So I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, one of the key things to that, to kind of neutralize that, is the fact that when you take the truth and lay it against a lie, it becomes obvious. It doesn't take too long to figure it out. And especially when you see all this venom coming out of these bar associations being, and they're teaching these things now to cops and so on and so forth, especially that kind of venom, lay that up against our founding fathers' words, and they just fade away into their darkness. So,
my feeling is they're proving our point. They're proving
absolutely
your point. When they
absolutely
do that, they're proving the point that we're making. So that actually makes me encouraged when I hear that. Anyway, I yield.
Just to make the point, on tomorrow night's considered indictment, it's going to be in three judges. I will give you a little bit of a hint. These three judges are in Utah. So they better hang on themselves, because tomorrow is not going to be the same for them. And we are going to make sure these people get arrested. We're going to do our best to make sure these people get arrested. We're going to talk to the marshal, and we're also going to talk to the sheriff down there, because if the marshal doesn't do his duty, because we're going to show him exactly the violation, and if the marshal does not do his duty, okay, then the sheriff needs to go out and do his duty. And if we have to go to the marshal next door or to the sheriff next door, we will. But I think the marshal, the sheriff in that particular county where we're going, is already on board. Okay? And we'll talk about that tomorrow on a situation and a conversation taking place with that particular sheriff and what incident took place and what he did about it. So
I want to insert something here. I get an awful lot of email from people, and usually they're people that have just come on. They go, how will the mandamus be enforced? It seems the government simply ignores everything we send. Also, were there any militia groups at this, blah, blah. Look, at anybody that's on here, if you pay attention to what we're doing and how we're doing and the process we're doing, you won't have these questions. You know, that whole thing that Judge John just said about these judges, guess what? That's enforcement. So just pay attention. Okay, I yield.
All right. Also, you know, if anybody, someone had a visit from the FBI over the past couple of days concerning the paperwork going in, and they got into a friendly conversation, they exchanged cards, and they'd like to talk to them more in the future. If this individual feels like it. I spoke with this individual earlier, and he said he's going to give them a call and meet them for breakfast occasionally and give a talk to them. They seem to be very receptive to the papers that we filed. This is the FBI, okay? And look at it. If the FBI comes to your door, any of our doors, because they may, those people who are controlling the boxes and the you know, the address for the state, common law, unified common law grand juries, they may make a visit. Don't get frightened or upset because they're coming out because they're being sent out there by judges. The judges are frightened to death. Now, they may not do that no more with today's paper. We're going to look at today's paper. They may not do that no more because of today's paper, because now they've been revealed. And the papers that they're complaining about, the sheriff has a copy of, and the FBI has a copy of, and the marshals have a copy of. So they can't BS them and give them a little piece of what we said on paper and stretch it out of proportion when they say, wait a second, Judge, I got that same paper and didn't really say that. Let me tell you what it did say. And, you know, are we threatening anyone? Well, if they're a tyrant, they should be threatened by the law because the fact that they're lawbreakers, they should feel threatened by the law. But if that federal agent or anybody of law enforcement ever asks, well, what are you going to do for enforcement? What are you planning on doing? Well, who are you planning on arresting the judge? Who's going to arrest the judge? And the answer to that question is, you are. That's the answer. There's nothing else to say. We're not going to do anything. We're going to keep laying it out, the truth, the way it is, and keep going on. And eventually you're going to wake up, and you're going to understand what's going on. You're going to see that America is about to be destroyed, and America rests in your hands. That's the answer to the whole problem. We will never go out and do enforcement in our personal way. We won't send a militia out. We'll have the government send the militia out. And when I say the government, I mean the representatives who better do their duty. And our paper talks about this, so we're going to get to that in 1 second. So anyway, also, if FBI agent or any agent comes out, everybody should print out a copy of the mandamus to the sheriff, everybody. And I would say the last paper, which is on subversion of the United States of America, those two papers, you should have a copy or two copies with you. Keep them in your car, keep them in your home, you know, a copy in your home, a copy in your car. And if you ever questioned on this, stopped on this thing, give them a copy of those papers because they should have gotten it. But if they didn't get it, they got it now. And they haven't arrested any of us for anything we're doing because they can't. We're just using the words of the United States Supreme Court, the words of our founding fathers, and the words of the legislators which have written good legislation. They can't arrest us for quoting those individuals. Okay? We haven't done nothing more. And the fact of the matter is their code tells us what's going to happen to people who are subverters, that there's 20 years in jail, okay? And people who are subverters, that may be what the code says, but remember, a jury can do whatever they want. They can give them 5 years in jail. They can give them a lifetime. That's up to the jury. And we'll make sure the jury understands it, that each case they look at, they need to really consider the depth of the case or the shallowness of the case. And maybe mercy is necessary. Maybe the worst-case scenario is necessary. That's up to those 12 individuals sitting in that courtroom. It's not our business on that end. None of us that are administrators will be any of those 12 individuals sitting on that courtroom because we would be biased on everything. And it's as administrators, just like an elected individual, we are the only people who will be not elected and yet be administrators within our counties, and yet we cannot sit on a trial jury. We are the grand jury at this point for this problem with America, an extraordinary situation. We've come together as a unified United States common law grand jury, we the people who understand the problem, we're going to do the indictments. It's necessary, like we're going to do a potential indictment tomorrow. We're going to bring it before all those who show up, and we'll take a vote, and either those people will be indicted or they won't. And we will continue to sit as that grand jury until we get access into the courts. When we get access into the courts, we will no longer be the grand jury. We will pull from the pools within each of the counties a grand jury when it's necessary. And we'll talk about those things a little later on in the future, weeks down the line maybe. Just like we'll do the same thing for the trial juries. But they will be untainted juries pulled out of a pool from within the county, and we will be acting as administrators. Those of us with National Liberty Alliance that do not take up the job as administrators, they will be in the pool, and they may be called, well, they will eventually be called as a grand jurist or a trial jurist, and of course, if they could make it, they should come. But we should do everything we can to go out and sit on that grand jury and that trial jury. Part of this is our problem. We try to avoid the jury. And I speak to myself first on that. So it's time not to avoid it no more. It's time to go out and get on to it and make it our duty, set aside our business, and go do what we have to do. And we're going to set it up a lot easier so that people's lives aren't really disturbed and disrupted as much as they may be on these statutory juries. But anyway, we're running behind before we even get started into our program, and it's going to be a good hour and 10 minutes or so to go through this, I'm sure. We have a lot to share, so much to share. We're going to share some stuff tomorrow with a paper that we wrote, which will be the evidence of what we're talking about. And next week, we've got papers, more papers to share. But the most important one is the one that hit the courts and all of these individuals this morning when they came into work at 11 o'clock in the morning. I mean, early in the morning, whatever time they get into work. When they got into work, they were met with these papers, either by mail, fax, or email. Only the sheriffs were both faxed and emailed. Everyone else, although the militia, we only emailed the militia. Again, let me put out this call to the militia. Anybody here that is of a militia, send me, John at nationallibertyalliance.org. Just let me know that you're with the militia and give us your email address and we'll keep you posted with all the paperwork and information necessary for the militia to have. Everybody in their own counties, you should be getting a hold of your sheriffs, talking to your sheriffs, have coffee with them, tell them you're concerned, and bring the papers with you that were mailed to this guy. Fax them, ask him, has he read these things? And if he hasn't, why not? How come you haven't read We the People sent you? This is Founding Father stuff. This is not hard to understand, because a lot of people say, well, I don't know how to read legal. No, this is not legal papers. This is founding papers is what this is. All we are doing is reiterating founding stuff. So anyway, that's one thing. The other thing is maybe everybody could do a search, find out any militias in your counties, in your state. I hope for a couple of people in each state to really do a big job on this and go through all the counties and all the militias within your whole state and send me their emails. Even their fax numbers, but the emails, I think the emails is the important part. Send me their emails. Okay, we're going to now take a look at the paper that we filed. Like I said, it's going to take a little while to read through, but let's get started. Following is a copy of writ mandamus to all federal and state elected and appointed servants from the Unified United States Common Law Grand Juries.
We lost you, John. You're not there. You just dropped off.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I was just stopping to say, look, we have a copy of this paper. It's up on nationallibertyalliance.org. It's click on the media tab, on the blue bar, click on the media tab. Just click on it. You'll go to a page and just scroll down a little bit, and you'll see the court case is filed. This is the last of seven. I think it's called Subversion, but it's the last of seven. You'll see seven of them in a row. First one is Writ Quo Warranto. And the last one is I believe it's called Subversion or Mandamus Subversion or something like that. Okay, let's get back to our reading here.
Peace. Filed in all 94 district federal courts. You can find a copy at nationallibertyalliance.org. Click on media. We the people, the sureties of peace, commanding all county sheriffs, all federal special agents in charge, all U.S. Marshals, Joint Chiefs of Staff, state militia, all 50 governors, all federal and state courts, assemblymen of all 50 states, senators of all 50 states, all U.S. congressmen, all U.S. senators, and over 6,000 media outlets, all listed as respondents and received a true copy via fax. This series of informations, orders, and writs by We the People filed in the United States Supreme Court, United States District Courts, the State Supreme Courts, and served upon our elected and appointed servants were not acted upon forms an indictment against the same. We the people are exposing the foundational errors of our judicial systems, errors found on subversion and contempt of law by enemies past and present. It is expected that said servants and all recipients understand the subject matter. All servants and recipients have the authority under the law and have taken an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. Today, these servants violate this sacred oath, and now lives have been destroyed, and liberty hangs in the balance. Silence when you have a duty to speak or act advocates the present conspiracy to overthrow the governments of the United States willfully and/or knowingly. Warning: do not seek an interpretation by an attorney that is not responsible for the oath you took concerning this information. Ignorance of the law or excuses that you are acting under advice of legal counsel will not be an acceptable excuse, for there is nothing to interpret. The purpose of filing in all U.S. federal district courts is because of widespread RICO, the advocation of overthrowing of our government, seditious conspiracy, with widespread mutilation and failing to file. The purpose of this mandamus is to expose foreign and domestic tyrants posing as Americans that have infiltrated our government at all levels in a concerted effort to overthrow the 50 governments of the United States by seizing their seat of power, our federal city, also known as Washington, D.C. Thereby, these tyrants have covertly erected a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, political operations, and through courts of fiction, contrary to the authority by which they claim, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 and 18, prevent the execution of the law of the land, resulting in the enslaving of the sovereign people of America. We, the sureties of the peace, also known as the tribunal, upon information received on behalf of we the people of the United States of America, in this court of record declares a state of emergency and orders all federal and state elected and appointed servants to uphold their oaths, guaranteeing to every state in this union a republican form of government, and shall forthwith assemble to protect each of them against invasion. The 50 United States are not geographically within the District of Columbia, as fiction would have some believe. We the people are not a commodity, merchandise, or chattel, as fiction would have some believe. We the people are not subjects or indentured servants of the fictional corporate United States, as fiction would have some believe. The brick-and-mortar buildings that house the inferior federal courts of the one Supreme Court throughout the Union belong to the people. Said courts were ordained and established by Congress under the authority of the people. We, the people, paid to build them, upkeep them, furnish them, man them, and pay the salaries of all elected, appointed, or hired personnel in them. These courts are district courts of the United States that were hijacked by progressives operating as foreign courts, and the awakened people are now rising to take back our courts and our republic. Pursuant to Article 3, Section 2, and Article 4, Paragraph 2, and 28 U.S.C., Subsection 132, defines the creation of district courts as courts of record, and therefore under common law, and not chancery. 28 U.S. Code 132, creation and composition of district courts. There shall be in each judicial district a district court, which shall be a court of record, known as the United States District Court for the district. The United States District Courts are not courts of general jurisdiction. They have no jurisdiction except as prescribed by Congress pursuant to Article 3 of the Constitution. Graves v. Sneed. Be forewarned. Any attempt by elected or appointed servants to subvert this necessary action by we the people to save our republic by attempting to utilize jurisdictions unknown or to unlawfully order military or law enforcement against we the people through military law, which sole purpose is to incarcerate a nation in order to subvert the will of the people, is high treason and will be met by an equal and relentless will of we the people. Martial law is an extreme and rare measure used to control society during war or periods of civil unrest or chaos. According to the Supreme Court, the term martial law carries no precise meaning. Duncan v. Cajamantico. 18 U.S.C. 2384, seditious conspiracy. If two or more persons in any state or territory conspire to overthrow, put down, or by force to prevent, hinder, or delay the execution of any law of the United States, or by force to seize, take, or possess any property of the United States contrary to the authority thereof, they shall each be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 20 years, or both. High treason. The following comments by Judge Anna Von Ritz of Alaska concerning the Rod Class case, posted November 8, 2014, clarifies the conspiracy. The Washington, D.C. municipality is a separate international city-state like Vatican City, the inner city of London, and the United Nations. It is run as a plenary oligarchy by the members of Congress under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17. And when Ron Class stepped foot in their jurisdiction, it was the same as if he had entered Egypt or Ireland or China. He became responsible as a visitor for obeying their laws, and they have every right to arrest him and prosecute him for disobeying their laws. His constitutional right to keep and bear arms is only guaranteed on the land jurisdiction of the American states, not within the physical boundaries of the federal enclaves that operate entirely under maritime and admiralty jurisdictions. There are three kinds of federal states that we commonly deal with. One, the federal states that were created as a franchise of the United States of America, incorporated by the 14th Amendment of the Corporate Constitution to regulate federal citizens residing in the domestic states of the Union. The peaceful inhabitants of the land were specifically excluded. That means us, American state citizens, who fly the civil flag of the United States of America. Two, Then there is the deceptively named United States of America, a consortium of federal states more commonly thought of as federal territories and possessions, Puerto Rico, Guam, etc., operating as a legislative democracy, not a republic, and a completely separate nation with respects to us, that was created ultimately under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, and the Insula Tariff cases decided between 1900 and 1904. 3. Then there is the district government within the United States of America, known as the Municipal Government of Washington, D.C., which is a separate international city-state carved out of the state of New Columbia, that is a member of the states forming the United States of America referenced above. This is, from what I can see, the entity that Ron Klass is tangling with, and it is the run, and it is a run as a plenary oligarchy by the members of Congress as a separate nation within a nation, within a nation. D.C. oligarchy inside the United States of America, legislated democracy inside the United States of America, like a cancer or two in the body politics. The D.C. government running on its own peculiar international laws, which are published as D.C. statutes and run entirely in international maritime and admiralty jurisdiction, and the United States of America also runs entirely in international maritime and admiralty jurisdictions from within the United States of America, a republic established on the land of jurisdiction of the American states, which is supposed to be functioning under American common law. There you have it, the good news and the bad news. Judge Anna von Ritz, Alaska. At the International Conference Combating Terrorism and Religious Extremism in Damascus on December 1st, 2014, United States keynote speaker Gordon Duff clarified the enemy. This may well have been the first time in history an American intelligence team of non-activists gave a military briefing to an audience of this type, including key military leaders of diverse tribal forces throughout Lebanon, Syria, and Iraq, a Russian delegation, and others from around the world. Gordon Duff stated on the record, "Too many people have died for people who continue speaking in terms that are unclear and are just not speaking the truth. It's time we simply say what we know, whether it's classified information or not. All of you have seen the results of what we're seeing, and what we're seeing will fit what is happening here and what facts you were able to bring up. Our hypothesis is based on solid information, solid research on the ground, using human signals intelligence from our extensive capabilities. We don't guess. We know what we are talking about here. Their motivation is largely economic. They are a criminal organization, but they are part of a worldwide criminal organization. And they're here in your territory, taking your things, your factories, your lives, your people, for the enrichment of a very specific group of people who need to be held to account. This is almost as if it is a police problem. This is a crime. The terrorism that you are suffering is worldwide crime on a scale that has never been seen before, and there has never been anything like this. I appreciate your statements, and I recognize the truth and honesty of what you were saying, but I do believe there are areas of misunderstanding how the United States works politically. This is a tremendous problem in the Middle East, and one of the things that has driven us here is it's very difficult to understand as far as is Israeli control of American politics, and as succinctly as possible, I will explain this to you. In 2005, the Supreme Court of the United States, in a decision of a case called Citizens United, legalized unlimited corporate bribery. This turned control of the Congress of the United States over to human traffickers, narcotics traffickers, and particularly the most powerful individual in the United States today is a gambling boss named Sheldon Alderson, an Israeli citizen who fled the United States, living in Makkah, spent over $1 billion in the last election, and bought control of both houses of Congress. Now, Senator John McCain, the father of Al-Ahara, the father of ISIS, will be running U.S. legislative and military foreign policy. American generals like General McClerny and General Paul Valery, specialists in psychological warfare, helped organize ISIS, have traveled in and out of your country here, Syria, over and over, as has Senator John McCain, meeting with Al-Qaeda, an organization created by the Americans, Saudi and Israeli defense forces and intelligence services. Only a little over a week ago, the U.S. Senate Secretary of Defense, Chuck Hagel, resigned. Chuck Hagel was the individual that stopped the United States from bombing Syria over the false flag gas attacks near Aleppo. It was our organization here that supplied the intelligence that stopped those attacks. It is our goal here, while we're here, to establish a method of communications that will allow Syria and other nations within the area to understand Israelis' control over the U.S., the control of the U.S. by organized crime, and how the U.S. government is subservient to a worldwide criminal organization. We, the people of the 50 United States of America, for the purpose to establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty, ordained and established Washington, called by our founding fathers a federal city, as the seat of the government of the United States, created by we the people through Congress, who were vested with certain powers via the Constitution under Article 1, Section 8, Clauses 17 and 18, which is governed and restricted by the rest of the Constitution and its capstone Bill of Rights. Any act of Congress repugnant to the Constitution and or not ordained by the people is null and void forever. All laws, rules, and practices which are repugnant to the Constitution are null and void, Marbury versus Madison. Where rights secured by the Constitution are involved, there can be no rulemaking or legislation that would abrogate them. Miranda versus Arizona. The aforesaid oligarchy, hereinafter called foreign invaders, aliens to we the people's 50 United States of America, and we the people's federal city, fraudulently claim they have the authority to create a municipality as a separate international city-state like Vatican City and inner city of London and the United Nations. Through we the people's members of a bygone treasonous Congress under the authority of Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, a conclusion denied by its body, and further said foreign invaders claimed unconstitutional statutes as law of the land or pretense at sea through Articles 1, Section 8, Clause 18 in that title 26 U.S.C. is law. Whereas 26 U.S.C. 7806 establishes in itself that Title 26 is not to be inferred, implied, or presumed to be law, and can have no legal effect because there exists no intent to law, in law. Therefore, courts of law and equity ordained and established under Article 3, Section 1, and their jurisdictions under Article 3, Section 2, and governed by the Supremacy Clause, Article 4, Clause 2, cannot conclude presumption in law, the grouping of any particular section or provision or portion of Title 26 by which said foreign invaders fraudulently claim their power, but possesses no rights and gives no authority. Moreover, after all logic prevails, there can be no laws arising under the Constitution for the United States of America that can authorize self-destruction of the same. Furthermore, the 1868 14th Amendment that fraudulently claimed to transform people into subjects was not established and ordained by the people, failed to ratify. When the traitorous foregone Congress set it before President Andrew Johnson for signature, he refused to sign but vetoed it while rightly declaring it as unconstitutional. For rights are unalienable and cannot be sold or transferred. We the people are subjects to no one save King God alone. In conclusion, the foregone Congress, undersized quorum, had no constitutional authority to create the District of Columbia through the Organic Act of 1871, whereby these foreign invaders, through corporate, judicial, legislative, administrative, and municipality fictions, unlawfully claim that we the people are under maritime and admiralty jurisdictions. They unlawfully occupied we the people's seat of government and control our courts. Congress has a duty under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 14 to call forth the militia to suppress the present insurrection, a clear and imminent danger to life and liberty, and thereby repel said invasion by said oligarchy. Abuse of power, jury tampering. On numerous occasions across the nation, FBI agents have been sent out by judges to spy on the administrations of some of the 50 Unified States common law grand juries because of the filing of quo warranto filed in all 94 federal district courts on or about November 10, 2014, on behalf of the Unified United States common law grand jury. These illegal investigations were initiated by judges under color of law without warrant because of this body's RICO investigations upon the same. These FBI agents, also acting under the color of law and on behalf of these judges that are under investigation by the grand jury, without warrant, initiated investigations to seek out reasons to arrest jurists in an attempt to intimidate this grand jury into ceasing our unalienable right as an investigative body protected by the Fifth Amendment to investigate their crimes. On one occasion, FBI agents set up one of our administrators in Salt Lake County, Utah, whereas the FBI agent placed a weapon into the hand of a statutory felon and thereby committed a felon prosecutable under both statutes and common law. The prosecutor, acting under color of law, then took the unauthenticated pictures and without affidavits and any lawful evidence, thereby contaminated a statutory grand jury, an act of jury tampering, by illegally persuading the jury to indict without authenticated evidence and affidavits, which are requisite for an indictment to be considered. When the victim was illegally arrested and illegally arraigned, the prosecutor claimed in open court that the victim was violent by association with the common law grand jury and facilitators. Therefore, the judge ordered the victim to be held without bail until trial. This was a vindictive act by the judge and prosecutor in order to chill we the people, an act of felony rescue and fraud by the FBI agents. This body, made up of thousands of law-abiding people, many of which are senior veterans within all 50 states, are being targeted as terrorists and is being violent by labeling us as patriots, which is code for terrorists and sovereign citizens, which is code for cop killers. This body is now investigating these unlawful acts for consideration for indictments. Unless the people take their rightful seat in the courts unfettered by the officers of the court, there will be no liberty in America. The FBI is now on notice that if there is no knowledge of a crime or a warrant, they are not to engage in spying on the people. Such an action is a crime, and we will respond from this point on with indictments for the same. Jade Helm, a Trojan horse, a threat to liberty and peace. We, the sureties of peace, upon information received from many sources, there are approximately 600,000 foreign troops on American soil. Therefore, we are an occupied nation. Our founding fathers denied an American standing army. How much more foreign? We, the people, have already ordained through the Constitution that the militia is to provide for the security of the several states against invasion and insurrection. By what authority does this administration claim to act upon by putting American lives at risk? It is known that at least over the past few years, the military under this administration has been sporadically running operations in many towns across the nation, frightening people, perplexed by the seemingly so real operations. This in itself is dangerous and could be interpreted as an invasion and might cause a serious force met with equal force response from militia. It has been reported to us, but expunged from the record and not reported by the media, that in one recent illegal military operation on American soil, one of the people did believe we were being invaded and fired live rounds on the military before he was persuaded that this was pretend. Is this what this administration wants to trigger a civil war? Article 4, Section 4, Paragraph 15 says, "The United States shall guarantee to every state of this Union a republican form of government, and shall protect each of them against invasion. And they are to accomplish this under Article 1, Section 8, which provides for the calling forth of the militia by Congress to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrection, and repel invasions. Congress has been derelict of their duties in that Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 15 requires Congress to provide for organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia and for the governing such parts of them as may be employed in the service of the United States, reserving to the states respectfully that appointment to the officers and the authority of training the militia according to the discipline prescribed by Congress, and they have not." There is no constitutional authority of training a standing army, especially one made up of primarily foreign troops on American soil. Congress has no authority to legislate such authority, and certainly the administration has no authority to act upon. Such actions are repugnant to our Constitution, an act of war against we the people. Our founding fathers warned that the militia must never be replaced by a standing army. Today, our nation has the world's most powerful military. 57 government agencies carry guns. Most have their own SWAT teams. And local police are trained in paramilitary operations. America has become militarized, and this tribunal, through this writ of mandamus, sets its face against such tyranny. Objections to a standing army. History recalls. Anti-Federalist number 24, Brutus. "It is admitted, then, that a standing army in time of peace is an evil. I ask, then, why should this government be authorized to do evil? If the principles of habits of the people of this country are opposed to standing armies in time of peace, if they do not contribute to the public good, but would endanger the public liberty and happiness, why should the government be vested with the power? No reason can be given why rulers should be authorized to do what, if done, would oppose the principles and habits of the people and endanger the public safety. But there is every reason in the world that they should be forbidden from the exercise of such a power. But this author supposes that no danger is to be apprehended from the exercise of this power,
Because if armies are kept up, it will be by the people themselves, and therefore to provide against it would be as absurd as for a man to pass a law in his family that no troops should be quartered in his families by his consent. This reasoning supposes that the general government is to be exercised by the people of America themselves. But such an idea is groundless and absurd. There is surely a distinction between the people and their rulers, even when the latter are representatives of the former. They certainly are not identically the same, and it could not be disputed that it may and often does happen that they do not possess the same sentiments or pursue the same interests. I think I have shown, in a previous paper, that as this government is constructed, there is little reason to expect that the interests of the people and their rulers will be the same. Anti-Federalist, number 25, Brutus. The liberties of a people are in danger from a large standing army, not only because the rulers may employ them for the purpose of supporting themselves in any usurpation of powers, which they may see proper to exercise, but there is a great hazard that an army will subvert the forms of government under whose authority they are raised, and establish one rule according to the pleasure of their leaders. We are informed in the faithful pages of history of such events frequently happening. Two instances have been mentioned in a former paper. They are so remarkable that they are worthy of the most careful attention of every lover of freedom. They are taken from the history of the two most powerful nations that have ever existed in the world, and who are the most renowned for the freedoms that they enjoyed, and the excellency of their constitutions. I mean Rome and Britain. Rome lost liberty to a standing army. In the first, the liberties of the Commonwealth were destroyed, and the constitutions overturned by an army led by Julius Caesar, who was appointed to the command by the constitutional authority of that commonwealth. He changed it from a free republic, whose fame is still celebrated by all the world, into that of the most absolute despotism. A standing army effected this change, and a standing army supported it through a succession of ages, which are marked in the annals of history with the most horrid cruelties, bloodshed, and carnage, the most devilish, beastly, and unnaturally vices that ever punished or disgraced human nature. Britain lost liberty to a standing army, the same army that in Britain vindicated the liberties of that people from the encroachments and despotism of a tyrant king, assisted Cromwell, their general, in wrestling from the people that liberty they had so dearly earned. America almost lost liberty to a standing army. You may be told these instances will not apply to our case, but those who would persuade you to believe this either mean to deceive you or have not themselves considered the subject. I firmly believe no country in the world had ever a more patriotic army than the one which so ably served this country in the late war. But had the general, Washington, who commanded them, been possessed by the spirit of a Julius Caesar or a Cromwell, the liberties of this country might have all probably terminated with the war. Or bad they been maintained, they might have cost more blood and treasure than was expended in the conflict with Great Britain. When an anonymous writer addressed the officers of the army at the close of the war, advising them not to part with their arms until justice was done them, the effect it had is well known. It affected them like an electric shock. He wrote like Caesar, and had the commander-in-chief and a few more officers of rank
countenanced the measure, the desperate resolution might have been taken to refuse to disband. What the consequences of such a determination would have been, heaven only knows. The army was in the full vigor of health and spirits, in the habits of discipline, and possessed of all our military stores and apparatus. They would have acquired great accessions of strength from the country. Those who were disgusted as our republican form of government, for such there were of high ranks amongst us, would have rent them all their aid. We should in all probability have seen a constitution and laws dictated to us at the head of an army and at the point of a bayonet, and the liberties for which we had so severely struggled snatched from us in a moment. It remains a secret yet to be revealed whether this measure was not suggested, or at least countenanced, by some who had bad great influence in producing the present system. America saved by Washington. Fortunately indeed for this country, it had at the head of the army a patriot as well as a great general, and many of our principal officers had not abandoned the characters of citizens by assuming that of a soldier, and therefore the scheme proved abortive. But we are to expect that this will always be the case? Are we so much better than the people of other ages and of other countries that the same allurements of power and greatness which led them aside from their duty will have no influence upon the men in this country? Such an idea is wild and extravagant. Had we indulged such a delusion enough as appeared in a little time past to convince the most credulous that the passion for pomp, power, and greatness works as powerfully in the hearts of many of our better sort as it ever did in our country under heaven, were the same opportunities again to offer, we should very probably be grossly disappointed if we made dependence that all who then rejected the overture would do it again. From these remarks, it appears that the evils to be feared from a large standing army in time of peace do not arise solely from the apprehension that the rulers may employ them for the purpose of promoting their own ambitious views, but that equal and perhaps greater danger is to be apprehended from the overturning the constitutional powers of the government and assuming the power to dictate any form they please. As our founding fathers warned, the demise of the militia and the rise of a standing army would spell the end of freedom and liberty. They felt that standing army in a time of peace was an evil. Thomas Jefferson said, "Standing armies are dangerous to our liberties." Our founding fathers agreed that they ought not to be kept up. James Madison said, "In times of actual war, great discretionary powers are constantly given to the executive magistrate. Constant apprehension of war has the same tendency to render the head too large for the body. A standing military force with an overgrown executive will not long be safe companions to liberty. The means of defense against foreign dangers have been always the instruments of tyranny at home. Among the Romans, it was a standing maxim to excite a war whenever a revolt was apprehended. Throughout all Europe, the armies kept up under the pretext of defending have enslaved the people." Madison also noted that never-ending war tends to destroy both liberty and prosperity. Of all the enemies to public liberty, war is, perhaps, the most to be dreaded, because it comprises and develops the germ of every other. War is the parent of armies. From these proceed debts and taxes, and armies and debts and taxes are the known instruments for bringing the many under the denomination of the few. In war, to the discretionary powers of the executive is extended its influence in dealing out offices, honors, and emoluments is multiplied, and all the means of seducing the minds are added to those by subduing the force of the people. The same malignant aspect in republicanism may be traced in the inequity of fortunes and the opportunities of fraud growing out of the state of war, and in the degeneracy of manners and of morals generated by both. No nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare. Jade Helm, a threat to liberty and an act of war against the American people. The President of the United States has no constitutional authority to deploy American and/or foreign troops on American soil. Any such action is subversion. The U.S. Congress has no constitutional authority to approve, plan, or provide for the deployment of an American and/or foreign troops on American soil. During the 2008 campaign, presidential candidate Obama made a bold announcement regarding the use of private assets, i.e., brown shirts, in order to fulfill his national security goals. He had made the following statements: "We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well funded." Since he did not so order the funding of the militia, what civilian military did he ordered funded? This administration has permitted foreign troops and military equipment training and exercising on American soil. In the fall of 2013, Russian troops were used in the highly secured Grid X-2 drill. Further, in the same time frame, it was announced that Russian soldiers trained at Fort Carson, Colorado, would be used to police major events on American soil. This is martial law decentralization training, in which the Russians are trained to interact with American citizens. Obama has opened the back door and let our enemies in the country in this version of the ultimate Trojan horse scenario. This also explains why Obama is turning the United States military upside down on its ear, and his endless series of purges of our military leadership. Obama knows that most of our present military leadership is not on board with the treason coming out of the White House. Therefore, Obama is reshuffling the deck in an attempt to find American generals and admirals who will do the unconstitutional bidding. For the first time in American military history, this administration has permitted communist Chinese troops to train on American soil. Like the Russians, the Chinese military were also part of the highly secured Grid X-2 drill, in which they provided military support, a simulated attack of a rogue third world nation upon the U.S. and its power grid infrastructure. The Chinese first put boots on the ground in Hawaii. The Chinese government is the enemy of the American people, just like Russia and Chinese have threatened to nuke the United States over a political invasion of Syria and Iran. The leaders of the communist regime delegation, Major General Zhu, became infamous worldwide after telling reporters in 2005 that the dictatorship in Beijing would deploy nuclear weapons against major American cities in the event of a conflict over Taiwan. Interestingly, the only nation on the face of the earth which possesses a sufficient number of troops to effectively garrison the United States is China. Military estimates tell us that 6 million troops would be needed to occupy this country in a martial law takeover. The Chinese certainly have that capacity. Hawaii would prove to be an optimal staging from which to send massive amounts of Chinese troops to this country in order to enforce martial law. The Chinese owe much of our debt. It is not hard to conceive of the fact that the IMF would strike a deal with the Chinese which promises debt collection through the seizure of American hard assets in exchange for occupying the country. No one knows the number of foreign troops on American soil, not even Congress. Why? Numerous sources, some from the militia, reported over 600,000. We hear countless reports from American soldiers that American military bases are occupied primarily by foreign troops wearing American flags on their arms held on by Velcro. The Department of Homeland Security has obtained 2.2 billion rounds of ammunition and 2,700 armored personnel carriers. The question must be asked, who is the Department of Homeland Security preparing to fight? This non-military army could only be used for one thing, the suppression of the American people. The U.S. Army field manuals specify the command and control related to the running of the FEMA camps would be conducted by foreign troops. FM 3-39.40, Internment and Resettlement Operations. February 2010. A 326-page procedure manual detailing IR operations facilitate the ability to conduct rapid and decisive combat operations, deter, migrate, and defeat threats to populations that may result in conflicts, reverse conditions of human sufferings, and build the capacity of a foreign government to effectively care for and govern the American people, all in violation of 18 U.S.C. 2385, advocating the overthrow of government. Appendix J20, FM 339.40-12, February 2010, J67. Commanders must organize and manage detainees in such a manner as to permit the proper and ready employment of each detainee. Establish and maintain a current occupational skill record for each detainee. Include new skills as they are required, assigning individual detainees to a work detail or job on a regular permanent basis. Establishing vocational training projects and encouraging detainees to study and develop needed skills to the maximum extent possible. While this administration ignores our borders, they also have opened doors of Troy. America has become an occupied nation, and now, under the name of Jade Helm, this administration is orchestrating an unconstitutional pretend martial law and takeover of the American people, while Congress and our judiciary does nothing. And when the people start to push back, then what? It seems appropriate to reiterate here positions of what we the people stated in Quo Warranto, filed in all 94 U.S. federal district courts on or about November 10, 2014. Congress, under the color of law, granted the presidential broad, sweeping, investigative, and prosecutorial powers against anyone, including the American people, found by the president to be enemy, thereby giving the president essentially dictatorial powers, trading with the Enemies Act, 1917, in violation of Article 4, Section 4. Why? Congress, under the color of law, granted registration requirements of the people in order to use the people as chattel, collateral, for the Federal Notes, Townsend Act, 1925, in violation of Article 3, Section 3. Why? Congress, under the color of law, granted government spying on the people, empowers the government to deploy unwarranted dragnets for massive amounts of information on private citizens, Patriot Act, 2001, in violation of Amendment 4. Why? Congress, under the color of law, granted authorization for government to indefinitely detain American citizen nationals without probable cause, without warrant, without charges, and without due process in law, National Defense Authorization Act, 2014, in violation of Amendment 5. Why? Socialism, communism, indoctrination taught in our schools, Common Core, in violation of Will of the People in Article 4, Section 4. Why? 100% control of the people's movements, food, water, energy, and control over the minds of our children. Agenda 21, United Nations, passed in 1992 and supported by President George Bush, in violation of the Constitution for the United States of America, Bill of Rights, Magna Carta, and the Holy Bible. Why? The administration, under the color of law, has prepared martial law, Executive Order 100, also known as Libor Code, 1863. Why? The administration, under the color of law, has prepared for the removal of all property rights, Executive Order 1933. Why? The administration, under the color of law, has prepared for the seizure of all communications media in the United States, Executive Order 10995. Why? The administration, under the color of law, has prepared for the seizure of all electric power, fuels, and minerals, both public and private, Executive Order 10997. Why? The administration, under the color of law, has prepared for the seizure of all food, supplies, and resources, both public and private, and all farms and equipment, including what people are storing for emergencies in their own homes, Executive Order 10998. Why? The administration, under the color of law, has prepared for the seizure of all means of transportation, including cars, trucks, or vehicles of any kind, and total control over all highways, seaports, and waterways, Executive Order 10999. Why? The administration, under the color of law, has prepared for the seizure of American people for workforces under federal supervision, including the splitting up of the families, if the government so desires. This happened before in Europe during the Nazi regime. Executive Order 11000. Why? The administration, under the color of law, has prepared for the seizure of all health, education, and welfare facilities, both public and private. Executive Order 11001. Why?
Good night.
The administration, under the color of law, has prepared for the powers, the most Postmaster General, to register every single person in the United States. Executive Order 11002. Why? The administration, under the color of law, has prepared for the seizure of all airports and aircrafts. Executive Order 11003. Why? The administration, under the color of law, has prepared for the seizure of all housing and finances and authorities to estimated forced relocation, authority to designate areas to be abandoned as unsafe, establish new locations for populations, relocate communities, build new housing with public funds. Executive Order 11004. Why? The administration, under the color of law, has prepared for the seizure of all railroads, inland waterways, and storage facilities, both public and private. Executive Order 11005. Why? The administration, under the color of law, has given FEMA complete authorization to put the above said orders into effect in times of increased international tension or economic or financial crisis in case of any declared national emergency. Executive Order 11051. Why? We, the people, perceive this unholy alliance with foreign powers and actions within our government, an invasion of the United States of America, as preparations have been made by past and present Congresses and administrations over the past years for the suspension of the Constitution for the United States of America in exchange for martial law. The aforesaid actions can have no other possible purpose other than to be interpreted as a coup d'etat from domestic enemies within the government of these United States of America. orchestrated by domestic enemies within the three branches that occupy our federal city. Hereby, this tribunal is sounding the alarm. Article 4, Section 4 says the United States shall protect every state in this union against invasion. Failure to act will be considered aiding and abetting. Therefore, since Congress failed in its duty to provide for the organizing, arming, disciplining, and the training of the militia, Congress shall perform their duty by calling upon America's last line of defense, that being America's only elected law enforcement, the 3,000-plus elected American sheriffs, to lead the militia, that being we the people, being necessary to the security of a free state, to Washington, D.C., to secure the people's seat of government, by arresting all judges, clerks, and others who resist obedience to the preceding quo warranto, served upon all Article III courts, thereby opening the doors for the unified United States common law grand juries to initiate investigations for the presentments of true bills, indictments, against such said oligarchy, and those who have aided and abetted them. Failure for Congress to act will be interpreted by the people as a direct assault upon Article 4, Section 4, which guarantees that every state in this union a republican form of government, and shall protect each of them against invasion. Such a failure of duty would mark all servants that fail to act in this state of emergency as traitors, guilty of aiding and abetting the enemy of the United States of America, partners of the insurrection, and punishable as a principal. All acts and orders by these foreign invaders are under color of law, and anyone who obeys such acts and orders by the same will be construed as a co-conspirators, traitors, and thereby guilty of treason, and the duty will fall upon the states to act. Section 10, Clause 2. No state shall, without the consent of Congress, lay any duty of tonnage, keep troops or ships of war in times of peace, enter into any agreement or compact with another state or with a foreign power, or engage in wars, unless actually invaded or in such imminent danger as will not admit of delay. We the people understand the threats by the foreign invaders with martial law and other insidious ploys placed upon the friends of liberty in Congress and our courts that prevent them from doing the lawful thing. Let it be known that once Congress executes by order to the sheriffs under the authority of Article 1, Section 8, Clause 14, thereby calling forth the militia to suppress the present insurrection, we the people will act swiftly to secure our federal cities and our states. Therefore, fear not and place your trust and the only hope in the people, realizing that the foreign invaders only have power if they control you. Obey the law and move that control back to the people, and they become powerless. The United States Supreme Court justices and the federal judiciary have failed and betrayed the people. The remaining justices and judges who have yet to respond to quo warranto with a signed mandamus and fail to act immediately have been determined by we the people to be an act of treason, and presentments will be filed for immediate arrest of the same to be so ordered by Congress. Failure for Congress to act will result in presentments of the same, and the duty to act will then fall upon the states pursuant to the people's will provided for under the United States Constitution, Article 1, Section 10, Clause 2. No state shall engage in war unless actually invaded or in such imminent danger as will not admit of delay. Thomas Jefferson's 6th, 7th, and 8th ancient principle states, "We the people have government by the consent of the people, and its purpose is to protect and preserve the unalienable rights of the people. And if a government, either by malfeasance or neglect, fails to protect those rights, or even worse, if the government itself begins to violate those rights, then it is the right and duty of the people to regain control of their affairs and set up a form of government which will serve the people better. Wherefore, we the people, through the unified common law grand juries, stewards of the common law, resolutely concluded and herein reiterate our cause. Washington, D.C. rules the United States of America on fiction of law by an oligarchy who fraudulently claimed that Congress gave them such authority by some unknown reason or conquest, perhaps by cowards, covetousness, sedition against the people of the United States of America under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 and 18, and thereby, through fiction of law, abolishes unalienable rights, claim ownership of a free and independent sovereign states, they now call federal states, created as franchises as the incorporated United States of America, to control federal citizens residing in the domestic states of the Union. The fraud now stands exposed to all oath takers who have a duty to preserve the blessings of liberty, and by God's will, such a criminal enterprise cannot survive the light of day. They will not rise nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with their dark cities. Justice is imminent. This is a law enforcement problem, not a military problem. Any military action upon our federal cities will be interpreted as a coup d'etat. We shall not fight our battles alone. There is a just God who presides over the destinies of nations, and who will rise up angels to fight our battles for us. We hear again the rattling and the clanking of the chains of slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. We know not what course others may take, but as for us, give us liberty or give us death. Patrick Henry. We the people command all legislative, executive, judicial, military, and law enforcement oath takers to remember their oaths and keep them and not obey any unlawful orders and be instructed herein by what authority we the people act. In the United States versus Williams, 1992, that went virtually unnoticed until now, United States Supreme Court Justice Anton Scalia, writing for the majority, said, "The grand jury is mentioned in the Bill of Rights, but not in the body of the Constitution. It has not been textually assigned, therefore, to any of the branches described in the first three articles. It is a constitutional fixture in its own right. In fact, the whole theory of its function is that it belongs to no branch of the institutional government, serving as a kind of a buffer or referee between the government and the people. The common law of the Fifth Amendment demands a traditional functional grand jury. It is, in effect, a fourth branch of government, governed and administered to directly by and on behalf of the American people, and its authority emanates from the Bill of Rights. These are extraordinary times, and therefore it is necessary for we the people, duty-bound through the common law grand jury, take up the lawful authority vested in us by the Governor of the Universe, and command Congress to execute extraordinary constitutional powers. We the people need not the approval of our servants to take up our power and secure our nation. We the people need not the permission of servants to empanel our own grand juries, to file writs, information, mandamuses, and true bills. We reject the arrogance of those who believe or assume power over we the people as their subjects, and we resolutely set our face against them. If government, either by malfeasance or neglect, fails to protect the rights of the people, or even worse, if that government itself begins to violate those rights, then it is the right and the duty of the people to regain control of their affairs and set up a form of government which will serve the people better. Thomas Jefferson. Oath takers, take notice. We the people have not given authority to the three branches of government to declare martial law. Any attempt by Congress or the executive to use military, foreign, or domestic forces against the people is an act of treason, war against the people. We the people order marshals, sheriffs, military officers, and militia to immediately come to the aid of the people and arrest any who attempt to enforce such repugnant acts. Sheriffs, take notice. In times of emergency, the only constitutional authority to keep the peace is posse comitatus. Under the Second Amendment, whereas our sheriff is to summons we the people of the counties to secure the peace, federal agents and foreign troops on state soil would be repugnant to our Constitution, an act of war. Posse comitatus, the power or force of the county, the entire population of the county above the age of 15, which a sheriff may summons to his assistance in certain cases as to aid him in keeping the peace, in pursuing and arresting felons, etc. Com versus Martin. The Bill of Rights, Amendment 2, states, a well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, shall not be infringed. These enemies of America at the highest level will be identified when they attempt the following. These seditious traitors will attempt to impose martial law on a free people. They will attempt to use foreign and or American troops to suppress and control the people. They will attempt a military coup in the name of the people's, duping people's sense of security. They will attempt to overpower our sheriffs, America's last line of defense. They will attempt to control the people's food supply. They will attempt to send drones over American soil. They will attempt to assassinate American citizens under the guise of terrorists. They will attempt to close off cities. They will attempt to move the population into FEMA camps. They will attempt to disarm the people. They will resist the following orders. It is therefore so ordered that all oath takers be on the alert to secure the nation from the enemies that they have infiltrated our government at all levels and to arrest such conspirators immediately. To ignore the only possible conclusion from the aforesaid is to end America. Therefore, on behalf of the people of the United States of America, in the interest of justice and the survival of our republic, we the people command under Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 15, and Article 4, Section 4, Congress is to call forth the militia to exercise the laws of the Union, to repel the invasion against our federal city without delay, regardless of their threats to you. Since Congress has been derelict of their duty in that they have not provided for the organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia under Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 16, Congress is to call states that have provided for their own militia and call sheriffs to execute posse comitatus in states that have not. Failure to act will be interpreted as aiding and abetting the enemy. Command. Under Article 1, Section 10, Paragraph 3, all state governors are to war against any foreign invaders without delay and secure our federal city if the U.S. Congress fails to act. Command. All state governors are to prevent Jade Helm on American soil without delay, whereas towns, villages, cities, and county governments have no authority to facilitate such engagements. Command, the President is to stand down under this emergency, seeing that the administration has become compromised. Congress is not to call the President into service as per their prerogative under Article 2, Section 2, Paragraph 1. This is a law enforcement action, not a military action. Command, under posse comitatus, sheriff, U.S. Marshals, FBI, and all other law enforcement agencies are hereby commanded to arrest said actors immediately and operate under the authority of the county sheriff when they oppose or support the aforesaid. Com versus Martin. Command. Under Second Amendment, the sheriff is to execute posse comitatus upon said emergency and protect the county borders from foreign troop movements, secure the resources of the county, and control resource trade between the 3,133 U.S. counties. Command. under 18 U.S. Code 1385. The U.S. military is to arrest any officer who attempts to enforce or impose the aforesaid. On the onset of an emergency, the U.S. military is ordered to deploy immediately to protect our borders, create supply lines throughout America, recall all American forces around the world, and only engage on American soil against foreign troops when called upon by the sheriff or militia. Command, Special Forces. There are challenges before us if freedom is to be saved that requires a whole new kind of strategy. And therefore, Special Forces, as directed by a fallen Commander-in-Chief, JFK, whose primary mission is to train and lead unconventional warfare forces or a clandestine guerrilla force in an occupied nation, such as ours today, under the authority of the sheriff. Command. All elected and appointed servants are to secure and enforce the law of the land. Command. Sheriffs and marshals, being the conservators of the peace, are to arrest for treason, and 18 U.S.C. 2385, advocating overthrow of the government, any elected or appointed government official that orders or attempts to order the execution of Jade Helm, or refuses the order, to stand down. Command. Congress is to order all foreign troops off American soil immediately. If Congress is met with any resistance, they are to call forth the militia under the authority of Article 1, Section 8. Command. State governors are to reinforce Congress and to see to it that all foreign troops leave their state immediately. If Congress refuses, governors are to take the lead. Command. If Congress goes dark, sheriffs are to immediately move forward, posse comitatus, and protect their counties and collectively their state against invasion. Command. All militia, special forces, and U.S. military personnel, retired, active, and dismissed, are to mobilize within their prospective states and make themselves available to the sheriffs and provide the posse with whatever training the preparations required under the circumstances. Military are to take the lead in battle, and sheriffs are to take the lead in security and control of their counties. Command. Homeland Security and all federal agencies are to be subservient to the governors of these United States and the sheriffs. Any resistance to that end will be considered treason. Command. If the Internet and or other communications go dark, all forces involved are to assume and prepare for the worst. Command. All authorities of cities and towns that acted under color of law in that they are receiving Jade Helm into their communities are doing so without any constitutional authority. We command that all governors order all cities and towns, etc., participating in Jade Helm to rescind their agreement immediately. Any city, town, council, or mayor that permits such an action as of this date of this writ is aiding and abetting and will find themselves before this body. Command. Congress is to immediately, as per Article 1, Section 8, Paragraphs 15 and 16, provide for the arming of the militia by transferring all armory, ammunitions, munitions, assaults, vehicles, drones, etc., that has been dispersed around America for Jade Helm to be handed over to the sheriffs and the militia immediately. Command. Congress is to recall all ranking military personnel dismissed by this administration to assist sheriffs and a militia. Command. News media under penalty of law, editors are ordered to perform their First Amendment duty and report or print a copy for the people. Failure to do so, seeing you have a duty to inform, will be considered aiding and abetting the enemy. Ordered under seal, Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, dated June 6, 2015, and signed by the grand jury foreman.
Okay, that brings us to the end of the paper. And again, a copy of that can be achieved up on nationallibertyalliance.org. Click on the media, and you'll find it just a little bit ways down. Also, our front page, the reading of this document. By the way, tonight's reading was pre-recorded, and I actually took it from the YouTube that we put together. But it did sound kind of draggy. The amplification of it was kind of low, so I amplified it higher, and I guess it distorted it a little bit. And as reading through it, I saw that I had misspoke a few words, but people are reading it, I hope, as we were going through, or they'll read it again on their own. But I don't think any of its meaning was really distorted by that. It was a long reading, an hour and 15 minutes, and bound to have some errors, and I'm not the best speaker in the world anyway. But anyway, in any event, this is a line in the sand. We've come to this point, and we had to kind of do something really dramatic and extraordinary. And I believe we did so with this document. This document, we had to make the first move. We had to, before they shut down the Internet. Now, these people got this document this morning. Everybody in the federal government and the state government got this document this morning, including county sheriffs and, of course, FBI, Joint Chiefs of Staff, the marshals. So they all got it. Light has been shined on the darkness. We've exposed their plan, and that in itself should stop this from going forward. If they really have the guts to go forward with this now, they don't know who's with them or who's against them. People have their orders. They know what to do should things happen. And it's the people who spoke. They're going to believe and follow the people. So we need to make this go viral. Every person listening, whether you're here with us live tonight or you're listening, and even through the radio programs, we broadcast through quite a few radio programs. So this is going out far and wide. We already are on about 300 different channels that have received this message and this information and is starting to rebroadcast it. We have put it out on Twitter. I forget how many thousands of tweets went out to different people. Many, many thousands went out. We put it up, I think it's up on Facebook. If it's not, we need to get it up on Facebook, on our Facebook National Liberty Alliance. We sent it out to over 6,000 media outlets, and now it's up to the people. We need to get this in email. We need to get this to go viral. We need this message to get to everybody everywhere. This is what will stop these crazy, insane people from going forward. You see, the elite, they're stuck in a box. They're stuck in a corner. They're rats trapped in a corner. It's that simple. And they will do anything to get out of it. And they'll start pulling strings and pushing people to do things. And the people that they're going to be pushing and the strings they're going to be pulling are the people that they have been manipulating, the people that they have threatened, the people who are responding and reacting to them only by and through fear, the people who are the useful idiots. Well, now, all of those people have been warned. You go forward with Jade Helm, you're going to be arrested by some sheriff or some marshal or some FBI agent. You go forward and you do this or you do that or you do the other thing, you're the enemy, and we're going to arrest you. So that is really the fear and the push. Besides that, I do not believe that America is going to end this way. But it's really up to you whether that happens or not. It's up to the people to get this message out now and to really push it as far and wide. We've sent it out to, I've got about 56, and that's all I got. That's all I could find, and so I haven't had too much time to really look for too much militia. I'm sure there's a lot more out there. But about 56 different militias we have got this message to. We need more militias. Anybody in every state, it's your job, it's your duty to search the Internet, to go through wherever you got to go through to get the information, to find out the militias in your area. Make contact. Make sure they get this information. Get them to the video. And at the same time, get their email addresses and get them to me, john@nationallibertyalliance.org, or send it to gerard@nationallibertyalliance.org. Get it to us right away, and we will add them to the list and start feeding them information and make sure that they see and get this document. So it's your job to save America. Only the people can save America. We are a pretty big force to be reckoned with. We have thousands of members and tens of thousands. I might even dare to say hundreds of thousands, but I don't know that to be a fact. But I do know we're easily tens of thousands of people that are keeping an eye on us, watching us, following us, and so on. But we do have quite a few thousand members. And it's our job to get this word out and really push it hard. So it's up to you. So with that, we're going to open up for conversation. Gerard or any of the other administrators here, do you have anything, any comments or any questions or anything before we head forward?
I'm good. I think it's funny that the New York Times printed the Unabomber's manifesto, but they won't print this.
Well, you know what? The pressure is going to be on them. And that's the other thing I want to say here, is that everybody should be keeping an eye on their local papers and their local news. You know, if you don't listen and you don't watch those things, just keep an eye. Look at the newsstands when you're in the store for your local news. Turn on the local news stations, even though you may not listen to them normally. Turn them on for a little while. Check them out. See if anybody's reporting on this. And if they are, get the information to us. Look, they can only stay dark so long. At some point, this story will get feet, so to speak, and start walking, and it's not going to be able to be stopped. It's up to the American people to have that. And you know what? To heck with these people anyway. Even if they don't get our message out, that's your job to get the message out. We, the people, need to get it out. We need to make it viral. The survival of the United States of America is dependent upon you. Anybody hearing my voice, do not think that, the other guy is going to do it. Because normally, that's what everybody's always doing. When we ask for money or anything, the other guy will take care of it. Well, everybody's saying that. So it's time to really get up and do something. It is your job to save America, nobody else's. Don't trust in the media. Don't wait for them. If the people are ready and all of the necessary forces, the sheriff and the marshals and so on, if they're all ready, they're not going to accomplish their goal. They're going to be snuffed out, and that'll be that. So our message to them, who's going to enforce what we have to say? They are. The sheriffs are. The marshals are. The FBI are. They shouldn't go. These people, these judges and these snakes in Washington, they shouldn't be sleeping tonight. They should be turning over all night. They should not be able to sleep tonight. But anyway, let's go on to our first question. Ray from Arizona, you got the mic.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. My name is Ray Trail. Am I getting across okay?
You're coming through clear.
Okay. That was exciting. I have quite a few people here really stirred up, but I'm the only one. I've passed the administrator's test, and I'm going to form that grand jury here. But I do have the ear of one of our county supervisors. The other two are Navajos, and they live on a reservation, and they don't do much for us here. And I need some help to get this thing started. I've read the materials. I don't know that I understand everything. Is there somebody here in this area that could give me some help?
Well, we're going to be preparing. That's our next preparations, is to prepare people to go in to take the power and the authority. So that's coming down the pike really, really soon. What needs to be done is paying attention to what we're doing, coming to the Monday meetings, getting together on your state meetings, which is actually being done in districts now, so three or four states are meeting together, and we will be adding on to the civics course as soon as possible. I haven't really been able to get working on it, but we will be working on it hopefully this week and next week, and maybe in the next week or so. We will get this information up on the civics course, which will assist people with the knowledge. We'll probably do maybe some PowerPoints on how to set things up and how to take on the process within the courts and how to write papers and different things necessary. And then, of course, you know, we also will be given a very, very in-depth instruction on the Constitution, point by point, especially with the first three articles. But we will cover the entire Constitution. But we'll go point by point, word by word, phrase by phrase, line by line, paragraph by paragraph, in order to understand what the Constitution really tells us as far as what authority we've given to Congress and to the other two branches, and also the Bill of Rights and understanding that our rights extend far beyond the Bill of Rights. And so this kind of stuff we're going to be teaching, how to orientate the grand juries, the trial juries, how to call them in, where we can get a hold of the pools of people. There's quite a few different sources available to pull people in. And the re-education of America, getting education of the Constitution and civics back into our schools, and revamp and refix the whole system. Bring education back to the grassroots, because right now it's controlled centrally by the federal government, and that's part of why we're so dumb. And so we need to fix it all. So you got to stay tuned. You got to come to the Monday meetings and start watching, and you'll start to hear and learn of different events and different things that we'll be teaching people in order to prepare to take power. Now, we also will, you know, National Liberty Alliance is just a facilitator. We are not the grand jury, but we facilitate the communications, the organization, the consistent things that we need to bring together, the teaching of the principles necessary in order to take control of our nation and to do it correctly under God, which is what we are set up as. And so we will always be there to facilitate. We'll always be there to answer questions and help in research and answers that we don't have, and work together and educate each other and get different things going, workshops and so on. And eventually, hopefully, we'll train elite groups in each, for lack of a better word, elite groups, in each of the states to be able to facilitate and assist all of the different county administrators throughout each of the 50 states. So we're working on it all. We're putting it together. It's going to take a little more time, but we'll get it out as quick as we can. And I perceive, and again, if we get into the courts before we're ready, we have a lot to do. We probably have 30 to 45 days of work to do as a united grand jury before we really are ready to start operations in our own county courts. And that will give us 30 to 45 days of being able to prepare people and educate people on how to do things. We'll also probably put together like a handbook or something so that you can breeze through it and get reminded, and maybe even be able to set it up with reference points to certain videos and PowerPoints and different things. So if you're not sure, how was it that we have to orientate the juries? Well, it's right here in the little book, and here's a video or a PowerPoint or something going through the step and laying things out. One of the things we have to be very, very careful of is not to taint the jury. We don't want to persuade the jury in any way, shape, or form. Of course, we will be bringing in, like prosecutors, certain cases. We'll bring them before the grand jury, and they have to decide on them. But we want to be careful that when we present and go through the orientation, that we're delivering to them the principles necessary in order to operate as a grand jury. A sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy, and all things that they consider and conclude on must be brought through all three of those processes, considering honor, considering justice, considering mercy, and then they'll be able to sleep at night because they'll make the right decision. And also we want to inform them of jury nullification and the fact that they really get to decide not only the law, but they get to decide the facts and the law. And also, they also get to decide the penalty. And we also will teach them and train them that every case doesn't necessarily have to call for incarceration. Maybe that's not necessary at all. You know, it's all about restitution. And that's what common law is about, is restitution, bringing back the injured party back to where they need to be. Okay? So these are the things we need to teach the juries, the grand juries, and the trial juries. This is orientation. It's a one-day orientation. You get 6 to 8 hours with them to orientate them, prepare them for the trial or the consideration of indictments. And there's a lot of other things, a lot of details. We'll get it down on paper, and people will be able to work it out. We'll do it. We'll definitely do a much better job than these clowns in power right now. But go ahead,
well, John. The reason that I called, I listened to you last week. And there was a couple of things that were mentioned. One was you said you formed your own court, and that's how you managed to get the habeas corpus to work. What does mean, to form your own court?
Yeah, I didn't form my own court, or we didn't form our own court. We, the people, are the court. You see, A true court, a true common law court, has a tribunal. The tribunal is either the jury or the grand jury. The grand jury is in session in all decisions of a case until it gets into the court for the hearing by the jury. So they're in charge until it gets there. Unfortunately, they cut that part out. Once they make the indictment, the jury doesn't look at a case no more, doesn't consider it, and it's thrown to a judge, and the judge makes decisions, and he doesn't have the power or the authority to make those decisions. That's the grand jury's job. Okay. Once it goes into the trial for a part of the process, then it is the jury's process. So right now, we the people, through the common law grand juries, particularly the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, we have opened a court of record in every federal court in America, 94 of them. And now the papers have been filed. We've set off what the mandamus is. They very well know, the federal judges particularly, they understand what we have just done. They know we have opened a court of record. They know they have to obey us. And they're sitting on their hands right now because they don't know what to do. They've been bribed. They've been threatened. All kinds of things. And now, you know, maybe they're going to be exposed of terrible things that they've done. And that's how they're being controlled. I don't know, but they're being controlled and manipulated by these what would you call them? Well, these terrorists, really. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Now we now press them the other way, and we're telling them, okay, you want to continue that road? We're going to get you. Maybe we'll get you tomorrow, maybe next week, but we'll get you next month, and we will get you, and you're going to jail. You're going to pay for this. Either you step up and do the right thing, and then we'll forget about it. Let's do the right thing and let's save America. We're not here to bring revenge. We're not here to settle an account in any way personally or anything of that nature. We're not here to get revenge. We are here to get our country back. We are here to save the republic. That's what we're here for. And if those people want to switch sides and work with us, we'll work with them and let's save America. Go ahead.
Okay. There was one other thing that was mentioned last week. That was the color of law, that form. I looked it up, and as I've been looking it up, we have so many incidents in here between the police, the sheriff, of how they're actually terrorizing our drivers and our people. And I got that form, and I would really like to know how to work it out and how to make it work, because it's a real serious problem. It has, and I don't know how to. We need to stop it. It's kind of urgent. It's not just...
You need to get involved. We have committees. We have quite a few committees. And by the way, we need lots of people in committees. People should join committees. Go up to our site, National Liberty Alliance, and click on the page that lists the committees. Let me see what link that is. It's up on the top. It's committees. We have a committee.
Yeah.
Go look at those committees.
I went to Craig's. That was the investigation and response.
Right. And listen, those people there in investigation and response committee, particularly those people, are down deep and dirty in the things that are happening. They're looking at all the paperwork. They're learning it and preparing to be able to write this paperwork. And this is also true with our... what's the name of the other one? The Common Law Advisory Committee, okay?
Uh-huh.
Those two groups are looking to learn to write and learn things. Now, if you join up with those groups, okay, you'll probably get a lot of information that most people aren't getting from other places at this point. But I think at some point those two groups are going to kind of combine and create another group, and that will really be really... setting up a place of coming together and discussing all of these things and these papers that we're writing in the law and the Constitution. And so people who really want to get down deep into this stuff, we eventually will come together with a group for that purpose. That'll be soon. You know, it's just going to take a little more time, but that'll be soon. You know, we keep thinking we've been doing this for 2 years now. We've been doing it a lot longer than that, but we've been doing this, building juries, building administrations for grand juries. We've been doing this now for 2 years. And we have these ideas of dates, and we feel that we're behind. We've got to get done by this day or that date. We never, ever, ever meet our mark. We try like heck to, well, we don't. This comes up, that comes up, another thing comes up. One thing prevents this or that, or things didn't happen right, whatever the case may be, it just doesn't go. But one thing we do notice that a lot of times when we're restrained, we get more knowledge and we're able to do it better. So we believe we got the hand of God working in this and that it's all in His timing. So we're not behind one day, one moment, one second. We are exactly right on time, regardless of our perception, regardless of what we think. You know, we've had people going back a year, or maybe more, who have tried to take this process down that we're doing by moving us into acting under expediency and not principle. And we refused. We refused every one of them. And some of these people became enemies and say terrible things about us. They're doing this right now. And by the way, we are under attack by some of these people I'm talking about. And so be very careful. People are out there. They're going to try to defame us or just shut us down any way they can. You know, if you can't kill the message, kill the messengers. And so that's what they're going to try to do. And they've been saying a lot of bad things. But anyway, they have pushed me to do lots of things in the past. But I stay focused, and we stayed on principles. And it's not just me. It's all the leadership of National Liberty Alliance. We have a great leadership group. And a lot of the people running these committees, we have national leaders. We have people running districts. All of the state coordinators and even county organizers. We have lots of people working together to do what we have to do, which is save the nation. And we have had our battles in the past. We've had some states that have gone rogue. We recently had to, you know, squash down a rebellion, so to speak, against NLA in another state. And that went very well. You know, when they understood, really, they all kind of turned and what came back into the plan. We've trying to hold people at bay because a lot of people want to do things because it's expedient. I got to do it now. Here's the opportunity. But if you haven't got the principles involved and you haven't done the principle things, you can't do the expedient things until you're ready. And that builds, you know, that builds patience, and it builds godliness because you're doing the right thing. And we're also, that brings us also to trusting in God in this whole thing. I mean, that's what it's really all about, just waiting and doing what we have to do, the right thing at the moment. Yeah, go ahead.
That's why I'm with you guys. I prayed about it. I found you guys. And I'm getting people to say to me, this is an answer to our prayers. You know?
Well, amen.
And I agree
by God's
with you.
Mercy, God has given us an answer. And I truly believe that America is going to be saved, but only by the grace of God doing the right thing. That's all we have to do. The people need to come together. They need to learn. They need to be patient. They need to do the right thing, and God will bless us for it, and it's all up to Him then. Because He's going to fight our battles.
I need that. I needed that. Thank you for reminding me. I appreciate you.
Right.
You guys have a good time. If Greg's listening, have him get in contact me, because I'm really ignorant about this stuff. I'm an aircraft mechanic by training. Okay?
Okay.
And this is a lot of hard work.
All right, well, Greg is on. Greg, that's Ray from Arizona, and 928 phone number 245. I'm sure you have that info. If not, you can get it off me later.
I sent it to him.
Okay, great.
Okay, thank you, John. Have a good night. Thank you.
You too. Thank you.
And don't forget the district. You know, the district you're in, you've broken down the country into 12 or 13 groups so that other states can help other states. So there's always somebody you can call and get to. Just want to mention that.
Right.
Okay.
You know, if people go up to our website and click on the directory, and I have to update this directory. Our directory has grown, so it hasn't even been updated. I'm hoping to do that this week. But right now, we really have a really big directory with a lot of information, a lot of people. Just go look into that directory, and you'll find the right people to call and communicate with and get yourself involved with. And get involved with more. Test it out. Go with this group. If you want to move to another group, move to another group. If you want to work with two or three, fine. Just get involved. Do something. Let's save America. But the most important thing right now is to start tweeting. Tweeting look at this video that we put together is up on our front page. It's the first video. It's been moved to the top. It's the first video you come to, which we're looking at this paper right now that we just read. And that video must go viral to save America. Let me repeat that. To save America, that video must go viral. A lot of people won't read, but they will listen. And when they listen after a while, they'll start to realize, I understand what they're talking about. You know, look, people think that it's law and they can't understand law. Well, you can't understand gibberish that comes from the Bar Association and lawyers and judges. Of course not. I can't even understand half of what they're talking about because they talk in code. They play games. They're hiding the truth. That's what it's doing. But we're talking true law. We're talking things that people can understand, plain language, very clearly, very easily. Anybody who heard what we just read, they're just English words. They're very clear. There's nothing hidden. There is no games being played. So
I'm on Medium, but I don't see what you're talking about.
On which now? What are you looking for, the committees?
I'm looking. You said the video that you...
Oh, no, the video is on the front welcome page. Click on the welcome page. And it's the very first video. It's called The Line in the Sand, and we need to make this go viral. Everybody, tweet it, email it, tell people, just get people to this video. You can send them to the YouTube directly, and you can get the YouTube just on the bottom right by clicking on the YouTube button. It'll take you there. Or you can send them to the front page of National Liberty Alliance, which is really where you should send them, because this way they'll see a lot more information. They're right at the site. They can watch it on the site, and they can read our front page. We have the Quo Aguanto here. We've got some great stuff. We have a new video I just put up. It was given to me, I think, today, earlier today. Someone shared this with me, and they told me, listen to it, watch it, and listen very carefully. And it was what we're talking about. And it's the Global Currency Reset is the name of this video. It's the second video. I put it as number two video. And this video, everybody should listen to. It's a little over an hour long. And I wish I would have known about I heard her and I seen this woman on the news before. And I heard her talking. I forget her name. But when you listen, they'll give her your name. And I wish I would have thought about contacting her prior to doing the paperwork. But anyway, that's God's will, because we could have used some of what she had to say. Now, we used that judge from Alaska, who may or may not be a real judge, but nevertheless, she was right on point, and she's all over the Internet, so we'll assume she's a real judge. And we used her information in our paper concerning subversion. We also used the CIA guy, which I don't think he's CIA, but he is some kind of intelligent individual over in the Middle East, a guy named Duff. And we used him because he laid it right out. He said, this is a police problem. This is a criminal entity that has taken over ultimately the world, okay? But they've taken over America. They've controlled our Congress. They are the oligarchy. Out there in Washington, D.C., controlling everything that's going on, and they've been doing so for a long, long time. And it's time to take them down. So he exposed them. Now, I've heard some people say, he's the enemy, or this one's the enemy, or that's, but look, who knows what the truth is on who's the enemy? Nevertheless, the truth is the truth. When you hear it, you know it. We already knew everything that this guy said from many different sources. But it was nice to be able to get it all put together in one kind of package, and here it is. He said it at a meeting as the keynote speaker. And also the same thing with that judge, Anna von, what's her name, Gerard? Anna von Ritz or something? But in any event, even her, okay?
Yeah, Anna von Ritz.
Ritz. Yeah, she said it exactly the way it is.
What you got to realize is that they always tell on themselves. They always brag, or they even the devil has to tell on himself.
That kid is running things right now.
Well, it's part of the contract he has in order to operate. So he's always going to tell you what he's doing. So look, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. Believe me. So
and by the way, tonight's program and every night's program, we've been online for over 2 years. We have 2 years of Monday night meetings. And if you're going to go listen to all of them, you should start from the last and go backwards. But in any event, we do post this. This will be posted tonight after we finish tonight's program. This will be posted. Before I go to bed, it'll be posted. And we have posted all of our Monday night programs. And people who haven't heard a lot of them, they can go back and listen. If people you meet and haven't heard been coming, or people who are listening in and can't stay for the whole thing, they can come back and listen to the recording. It's up there.
Just for your information, this is the 132nd one. I've been listening to them.
Oh, okay. So you know that. I never counted them. So there you go. We're over 2 years then, you see?
Okay.
So,
well, you guys keep up the good work, and I'll listen to all of those.
Okay,
like I say, I'm an aircraft mechanic, and this is all new.
Great. All right, we appreciate it, Ray. Let us go to our next question.
Night.
You too. Good night. Okay, Michael from California. How you doing, Michael?
Hey, John. This is Michael from California. Thank you for reading and reciting the subversion document that was sent to everyone on powers to be in the corporate federal government June 6th. As I understand it, the portion of Jade Helm started on page 9. I just started reading what you had been reciting. My main reason for getting on tonight was to tell all your listeners that I am also the chair of the Jade Helm Committee, and I've been in earnest trying to figure out straight from the horse's mouth what really Jade Helm's all about, because I keep getting people calling me. And so, as I told you earlier, I actually finally got through to Lieutenant Colonel Wastoria, who actually is the public affairs officer that is in charge of debriefing everyone at town hall meetings like they did in Bastrop, Texas, about this very thing, Jade Helm. So point by point, real quick, addressing what you put in your mandamus, I asked him quite a few questions. I talked to him at length for 20 to 30 minutes, and I didn't beat around the bush, and I basically was as frank with him as I could, but as respectful as I could, and I just asked him certain questions. Number one, how many states are they including in this in total? And he mentioned 7. And I said, can they add to those numbers? He said, no. And he mentioned 7, and 4 in the southwest of those 7 are Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, and Utah. 3 of those obviously border states with Mexico. Mississippi in the south and the east in the area of the Gulf Coast. Mississippi, Louisiana, and Florida. I'm going to ask your listeners, what do all of these 7 states have in common besides being in the South?
Well, you're going to have to tell us. Well, everybody else is muted, so you'll have to give us the answer to that.
Okay, well, they're all governed by 7 Republican governors.
Hmm.
I don't know if that's a coincidence, but I brought that up with him. So I asked him, if that's true, Mr. Wastoria, then what is the intent of this, and why did you pick those 7 states, and how many troops or whatever, and who are those troops involved? He said, well, there's a lot of rumors going around. He said, this is realistic military training, and in countering what you have put in your mandamus, he boldly proclaimed that, well, our military has been doing these realistic military trainings on property other than military or federal land for 60 years now. So he's just saying this is business as usual. He says that this is going to be 1,200 troops total combined for all 7 states during these 2 months or 8 weeks of training. He says that that includes 750 airborne, also the 82nd Airborne Special Forces, and what he called backside support. He said that's it. There are no foreign troops. That's a lie. There are no UN troops. That's a lie. He's basically telling me all this himself. He's saying that this isn't some kind of martial law exercise. This is just us trying to do some training. And I said, well, why did you pick those states? He said 3 reasons. Number one, we wanted remote areas that were, number two, private land, and there were enough retirees in these southern states to volunteer their land for this use. And that gives us access to towns when needed. And I said, well, how are you getting local law enforcement involved? He said, well, they're there just to cordon off the areas for the training. He did confirm there would be actors involved, which would be military personnel. But he mentioned the law enforcement local would just be there to cordon off areas. Well, I said, well, that's nice that you have that number and all that, but what about all the rumors that there may be Chinese or Russian troops, UN troops? He said, no, that's not true. These are the only troops that are going to be involved. They're all special forces or military of ours, and they're either airborne special forces or backside support. So that's pretty much what he told me. He thinks that everyone else is a conspiracy theorist idiot or tinfoil nut job, and as far as he's concerned, that those things are not with merit, and that those states, Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Florida, are the only seven states that will actually hold Jade Helm. And he said California and Colorado, the state where I live and the one that everybody says opted out, he said they won't be in it physically, they won't be participating, only because their units, he called them units, were no longer able to participate, but they will be participating virtually, whatever that means. So I
Did you ask him about all those coffins or all those vehicles just lined, you know, mile after mile after mile? I mean, that sounds like a lot of vehicles for 1,200 personnel.
I think one of the reasons...
questions that you guys have, because I know your time is limited, and I just wanted to get out there and throw that out. I did put a post on my committee page. It actually came out in triplicate for some reason. I don't know, so I apologize for that. But his phone number is listed, so I'm going to encourage everybody to call him themselves and ask him those questions, because he is the public affairs officer. Now, get this, Gerard, I think you're ex-military. I actually got a hold of the Sergeant Major Bakir, who is a second in command of the Army, right off their website, only to Lieutenant General Cleveland, and I got through to him directly. He answered the phone, and he goes, "Who the hell are you, and how'd you get this number?" And I just told him, it's right on your website, and I said, "Can you tell me all the stuff about Jade Helm?" He frankly just said, "No, you're going to have to deal with this public affairs office," and then he kind of abruptly hung up on me. So whatever reason they are all deferring to this one guy, Astoria, or to other people like Meade, who are these public affairs officers, that's their protocol, that's their procedure. You know, I don't read anything into it. I'm just telling you exactly what he said, only because I don't want to be a fear-monger, and I don't want to be someone spreading rumors. I'm trying to quell any rumors and just be factual and tell you exactly what he told me. So you guys have
any
questions?
Well, that's good, yeah, and we can appreciate that, and we would appreciate that that's how he answered, too, because, of course, you know, everything's departmentalized anyway, unless he really knows a lot more and he's not saying, so there's two possibilities there. But the other thing, have you had any opportunity to try to get a hold of any militias? I know I've had contact with some militias over the last year or so, and we've got some phone calls from them and some information, and... we've heard about a lot of the militias connecting together around the nation, and this goes back, goodness, 8 months ago, where a lot of the militias, they've been moving and working around the nation because they're hearing a lot of things, and at the same, of course, mostly about you know, martial law, and they're very much aware of the troops. As a matter of fact, my numbers come from them. Approximately 600,000. My numbers were actually a little lower than that I got from other sources, but I decided that the information that came from some militias would really be more accurate than anyone else. I mean, Congress doesn't even know how many people. And the militias said that they really didn't know either, but they know easily there's over 600,000 troops. I remember when the troops started to come into this country, at least we started to become aware of it, and there was 1,300 troops at the time that came in, coming in from China and Russia, and Ron Paul started sounding the alarm, what's going on with this, and nobody listened. I mean, of course, those of us who were following Ron Paul were listening, but no one else was listening, and the government couldn't care less. And he said this was becoming an invasion, and they would keep on coming in and coming in and coming in and coming in and coming in, and that's going back to 2007. And even prior to that, I'm sure there's been some foreign troops on the soil, but I know Ron Paul became aware of approximately 12 or 13,000 of them, and he was alarmed by that. Okay.
One of the curious
things, though, is what's going on with what's that Chinese store? Not Kmart, it's Walmart. You know, these Walmart stores that have been shutting down, preparing in different areas. You know a little more about that, Gerard?
I regret not asking him three questions. Number one, what for sure does Jade Helm stand for? So tomorrow when I call him back, I'm going to ask him, what does that stand for? Is it really the joint app for the deployment and eradication of the homeland, eradication of local militants or something else? What about the Walmart closures, and what about these tunnels we're hearing of? And if he can answer those with as smooth of a polished approach as he did today, maybe there really is nothing more than what he's saying going on, but there's a lot of people that are speculating, including Governor Abbott of Texas. And again, I point out to you, Chuck Norris and others that are celebrity figures that are stating that This one guy put a video up on YouTube. They found a bunch of Turkish-made Russian missile launchers in Texarkana off the highway in the woods. They're saying, what are those doing there? And then they have this guy talked to at a party right here in California this last weekend. He's ex-military. He said that in Barstow, California, right in the border between Nevada and California, they're supposed to have no more than like 700 to 1,000 armored vehicles there at that area. He said there's now like 15,000. So it's kind of like he said that, well, don't worry about all this stuff you see on the trains, on these videos, all the troops or all the armored vehicles. He says that's because it's summertime and the National Guard does all their trainings, and that's typically why we need to move all these vehicles around. And he said that anything you see about UN troop videos, he said that's just basically because we manufacture them in Texas and then ship them out internationally. Well, I've read that story on the article on the Internet a long time before.
Right.
So he had all his talking point answers ready to go to basically allay any fears or basically to counter everything that you've said in your mandamus from a standpoint, except the constitutional one. I kept bringing up, well, you guys are oath keepers. I kept bringing up his oath to the Constitution, and he always would defend it by saying, look, I've been in the Army for 27 years. There's only going to be about 200 real special forces in Texas. There's 130,000 active military in Texas. It's 200 versus 130,000. He goes, come on. So he was always trying to downplay it like they're outnumbered and it's just a training in remote areas. Every now and then they may get close to a city or something, but that's, you know, he was always downplaying everything and trying to make it sound like his business as usual. Although, if it does involve anything else, I said, well, we'll give you the benefit of the doubt if you're telling the truth when it's all over. You know, it's just the way it is, then, you know, basically, you're right. But I kind of let
What I want to say is, first of all, he's compartmentalized himself. They only tell him what they want him to know. You know what I mean? So he's getting...
Basically, it's going to be co-opted by people that are serving something other than our country and our Constitution. People like John is intimating in the mandamus is... maybe they're actually serving the United Nations or the New World Order, and they're basically ready to co-opt this. And the Army really thinks maybe they really think they're just doing business as usual.
Exactly.
But they can be used as pawns, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just wanted to say there was a report in, I don't remember which state it was. I'll have to go find it, where they were blowing holes in this old school system, and the whole town was up in arms because these were huge explosions, big holes like in Michigan. Now, was Michigan even part of Jade Helm?
No, like I said, the seven states are all southern and southwest.
There you go. So now he's saying, oh, we're only in seven states. Oh, okay, so what's in Michigan is not called Jade Helm. It's called blow up the school. Who gives a crap? So, and so what they said was, is when the newscaster, now this is on News 5 up there, they said, okay, they said, oh, well, we got
the... Yeah, it's a Fox affiliate, right?
Right, and they said, well, where are you going and what are you doing? Are you going to tell us? And they said, well, we have a public guy like that you talk to. They said, but there's certain things that we're not going to tell you and we will not reveal because they're in national security and we don't want our enemies to know what we're doing and all this other bull crap. So they said, we will not announce all the time what we're doing exactly where and how. And like they wouldn't explain, you know, what they were doing when they, I mean, the guy was standing there, it was these 12-foot holes in the wall, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so they're not really coming across with everything that they're really doing. And I see, as smooth as this guy is, one of the reasons he's put there is because he is smooth, you know?
Well, they're supposedly the guys that are educated at college to do all this disinformation campaign, or at least go out there and say what they tell them in the Army say.
If you talk to him tomorrow, ask him about what about the holes in the wall in Michigan, and they said that they're not going to tell us about that because that's national security. And I'll tell you what, I've been in this country all my life, you know what I mean? And I'm over 50 years old, and I've never seen this, and I've never heard about it, and I don't remember ever seeing black helicopters and things blowing up. Yeah, no. For 60 years they've been doing them where? Not here, I'll tell you that right now. Not in this country.
They've been doing these, what he calls realistic military trainings on private land or land other than federal lands that were designated for military trainings for 60 years now. So I don't know where he can come up with that, but that sounds like a talking point. Some people gave him the benefit of the doubt and told him that have been telling people that Jade Helm is trying to pre-position our military so we can be ready in case ISIS tries to do something. I brought that up on my conversation with him. I said, you know what? some people are asking or believing that you guys are doing all this because you're loyal to us, you really are our army, and you really love our country, and you want to get ready in case ISIS is already here. And I mentioned how Obama's been shipping around with DHS to places like Victorville and Port Hueneme and different places. And not just the people that are the refugees that are Islam or Muslims, but also the MS-13 gang members, the three of them that just recently raped that girl in, I think it was New York. It was terrible. And they all probably came in through this illegal invasion he had set up through what he called unaccompanied children, which was bullshit. So, pardon my French. So I asked him that, and he goes, oh, no, this has nothing to do with us trying to quell anything with ISIS or anything. This is just us doing our real-time training like we've been doing for 60 years.
Listen, they don't want any panic at all. They would never tell you the truth. You know what I mean? I mean, look, you could have a Death Star coming in, and it's coming in 5 minutes, and they'd be sitting there denying it. That's how they operate, you know?
Well, you know, one of the other questions or concerns you should make to him is to ask him, you know, because he said he took an oath and he says he believes, right? You know, then why is he breaking the Constitution? You know, refer him to the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8. In paragraph 15, it says that Congress is to provide for the calling forth of the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrection, and repel invasions. The Army was never given that authority. Nowhere in the Constitution is there any authority. As a matter of fact, in 12 it says to raise and support Army, but no appropriation of money to that use shall be and for longer than a term than 2 years. The purpose of an army is to fighting a war, either to protect our borders or to fight a war elsewhere when necessary. But certainly,
I read that in the mandate, John, and the argument they will raise is that deploying for military purposes is usually a sign of that you're deploying for an invasion or a war. He's saying this is just a training, business as usual, 60 years in a row, blah, blah, blah. But,
right. Well, the bottom line, though, nevertheless, no matter what he says and no matter what he does, is the Army does not belong here in the United States doing anything. The militia, look at the providing for the militia should have been taking place. It goes on in number 16, by the way, to provide for organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia and for the governing such part of them as may be employed in the service of the United States, reserving to the states respectively, the appointment of the officers and the authority of the training of the militia according to the discipline prescribed by Congress. So if we had an ongoing militia in every single state, in every single county, preparing and for this kind of a possibility of an invasion, and they're right there, boots on the ground, right there in that county, and could probably get anywhere in that county in a matter of minutes to an hour or two, okay, and forces could be pulled. Why do we need federal forces? What, are they going to be in every county? You see, that's the kind of question that I would ask the guy. And the big thing here is this, is that the Constitution provides for the people to prevent it. You get an active militia in every county, there is no way any nation anywhere on the planet could possibly even come in and take over America. And when you put that together with an army that can protect the borders, forget about it. They're not getting in. Now, of course, if you got traitors in the White House and traitors in Congress opening the doors of Troy, that's a whole different story now. And
new released article today that shows Obama shaking the hands recently of the Muslim Brotherhood lobbyist Alec Riddy, and that he had a special secret document called the PSD-11 where he actually is aligning himself with the Muslim Brotherhood, which is one of the organizations that totally hates America, and
mm-hmm.
He's basically got a Muslim running the Jay Johnson running the DHS. So I asked this guy, I said, you know, based on the fact that you claim to be in the military for 27 years, my dad fought in World War II in the Army against tyranny, known as the Brown Shirts. Are you guys going to really dress in civilian garb and wear these armbands? He said, yes, some of them will. And I said, are you guys going to be you know, addressing the fact that Obama's been purging these top leaders in the military? And he goes, oh, that's not really true. He goes, most of those guys were up for retirement or they were supposedly asked to retire because of whatever reasons. So he's denying the fact that Obama's doing anything to, you know.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's even worthwhile giving any information or anything this guy's saying anymore anyway. But you know,
well,
the,
I'm just
the
letting
bottom...
you guys know my conversation was real time with that guy personally today. To let you know, that's what the official word is instead of
right.
All the stuff you see from YouTube videos, that's the official word straight from the public affairs officer that's in charge of Dadehelm. His name is...
And we appreciate all this. This is good information. And if you can, make some contact with militia. Again, we have militia amongst us. And militia, these guys should start sending me information as far as... email addresses that we can keep the militia informed, and other email addresses from other militias, anybody who can get any information on that. Those are the people we need to start talking to. Those are the people, they're connected inside also in the services, and a lot of them have come out of the services. And so they really know what's going on. They know the game and what's really happening because they've seen with their own eyes situations that just didn't add up here or there. And one of the interesting things is the paper we made note of in our paper here under subversion and the mandamus concerning the FEMA camps and the control of the FEMA camps, and this is in their manual, will be controlled by foreign troops. Now, this is right there in the manual, and they had a lot of stuff what the foreign troops are doing. I mean, there's way, way too much for us to have added the whole thing, but we just put, of course, a couple of paragraphs here or there to make the point. And one of the things that really, you know, really condemns these people to hell is the fact that they got all of these directives and all of these acts that have subverted the American people, subverted the American way, have taken our independence, have taken our liberty. And the fact of the matter is, and I heard this on audio today, but, you know, I did kind of know this, but it was reconfirmed, these federal courts are operating, their administrative courts. They have nothing to do with the Constitution. They haven't had anything to do with the Constitution for a very long time. And that's why, and all this put together is nothing but subversion against the United States of America. There's no way to get away from it. It is as obvious as the nose on anyone's face.
He was denying that that the Army here involved with Special Forces or otherwise is, you know, under the thumb of some dictatorial tyrant named Obama as Commander-in-Chief. He says, look, the Army has existed for over 200 years. We're an independent force. And we basically have been fighting and doing what we've been doing, irrespective of whether they're Republican or Democrat. So he was trying to get around all this notion of Obama. But I want to point something out as far as one thing you didn't mention in any of your paperwork that may be something to consider later, and that is the news that the weaponry now for doing things in terms of on a huge scale are things called HAARP, like weapons related to weather weapons, and that places like Utah that are experiencing extreme fires now, places like Texas, major flooding, and Oklahoma, all of those states going through those are Republican states that were standing up against things like Obamacare, things like his Agenda 21, and it's almost like he's using the weapon, the weather as a weapon. Plus, reading an article about how Russia got a bomber to fly across the airspace of Alaska unmolested. They're supposed to intercept them immediately and make sure they don't go anywhere so they can find out what kind of weapons they have on it. No jets intercepted them or ever engaged them at all to find out anything about this bomber. And they're saying that if they fly one over our country at 30,000 feet, it's too late now. They're going to set off an EMP, an electronic magnetic pulse, and that will shut down the entire electricity or grid for the entire U.S., including your vehicles, and will be rendered powerless, and then the invasion will ensue. So that's just something for everyone to chew on. If this document goes out and we get some people like the militias to help us, we got a fighting chance. But this shows you how great a magnitude this is. And plus, they're all building their deep underground military bases. Don't think for a second you don't know where that $2.3 trillion disappeared from the Department of Defense.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And I didn't even mention the tunnels that are supposedly under the country.
Right.
How the hell do you figure out what's going to go on in those, and why are all the Walmarts closing, and why did Maple Resolve take place in April and May in Canada? And I mentioned that, and he goes, well, I don't know anything about that. So, you know, so...
Yeah. And the other thing I was going to say is one of the reasons they're not operating in Colorado is because they lost the permission of the town fathers, whoever it was that gave them permission, backed out. So they're not able. The reason they're not able to do anything over there is because they don't have permission. And what backs that up is in Michigan, they said, well, we're not going to announce these things. We've already met with your leaders, your government here, and we left it. Right, with your local municipality, and we left it up to them how they're going to let you know.
Well, constitutionally, it is up to all of those. That's what the NLA is all about, and I want to say this really quick, is if we have all the NLA in place, and we do, the 3,300 counties, We can only now just hope that everybody's listening and they can muster enough of the militia support to help the Posse Comitatus with the sheriffs to be ready. And that the point is I was going to make was that, I was losing my train of thought there. They have a...
Well, they could turn them away. They could remove the permission and they can't operate in that state then.
Oh, as far as California or all the states, that says in your own California Constitution or mine, and your Constitution probably say something similar, that the military, right in Article 1, Section 5 of my Constitution, I check, it states in the Declaration of Rights, the military is subordinate to civil power. They can't come in without permission from local authority. They can't.
Right.
So that's in our state constitution, in addition to what John quoted in the subversion document from the federal constitution. So we have it on both constitutions that we, the people, have the authority to repel it or turn it away. And I'm suggesting that everyone does their due diligence in those seven states or their own state, if they even theirs isn't mentioned, to make sure it doesn't come in. I'm going to my town hall meeting tomorrow with all this information, and we should be telling them all about these mandamuses just to make sure they got them. I sent them video emails to everyone, my sheriff and all the city council. They never got back to me, so now I have this. I appreciate John and you guys doing this. That's pretty impressive documents, gentlemen.
Well, we appreciate that. And everybody should be doing exactly what you're doing. Everybody. Get the papers out to your local communities now. Look, we got it to the state level. We got it to the federal level. And we got it to the county level, only to the sheriffs. That's it. But we did get it to all of the county courts, you know, which are state courts anyway. But every county has a state court. And we did get it to the court clerks, which gets to the judges. But we did not get it to, you know, county infrastructures, you know, the elected individuals there. Nor the towns, villages, or anything of that nature. So everybody should kind of make connection with their sheriff. They should kind of make connection with their local committees in different meetings, towns or counties or villages or whatever the case may be, and get them stimulated.
John, before I forget, this is a point that I almost forgot. When this guy, when I brought up the fact that, you know, there was going to be done, I brought up Article 1, Section 5, he says, well, you know, this is the argument I've been hearing they've been using, and he certainly brought it up and said it himself. He volunteered. He goes, well, you know, all these military are going to be there, and he even mentioned the military that are active duty that are already there in Texas and places. He goes, that's just big money for all these cities. So he's basically using the argument that it makes sense for these people to buy into it because they're actually literally going to have people buying their goods and services to make them richer or better off financially or economically. So they're using the economic angle to get people to buy into accepting.
They're paying the towns. They're paying the towns. What's that?
That was what I was waiting to hear from him because he used that himself. He said that himself. He was.
Oh, I have news articles that they claim that they got, like these little towns got $150,000 for accepting, signing on the line. It's bribery.
We're bribing them with
it's bribery.
Money.
Exactly. Look at here's
they're
the
doing
BBC.
One or both.
Here's a BBC article. U.S. Army apologizes for rattling nerves in Flint. But the thing that's telling in this article, it says, you know, the Army's apologizing, you know, because they blew up this school without telling people. And the guy, the local official says, things got pushed up a little sooner than we wanted to, says city spokesman Jason Lorenz. But in the future, people will know if something's going to take. See, they're pushing this thing up forward, and maybe because their cages are getting rattled. So now you know they're not on the timeline that they were. That's a Freudian slip. Oh, things got pushed up a little sooner than we expected. And that's,
oh, yeah, they're on a timeline. We haven't even mentioned the fact that many of these Luciferian nut jobs are very much following the prophetic stuff in the Bible, and they're thinking that there's another brown star, the Nibiru thing that came out in 2012, they're saying that that's online for September. The yuan, the Chinese thing, is going to take over the petrodollar in probably October, and when that shit hits the fan, the economic collapse ensues. He's got another excuse for martial law. So they've got all those things coming together at a head.
Right.
So, you know, whatever, but one other thing before I forget, it's off point with the Jade Helm. June 12th, he's going to take over the Internet because the FCC ruling he got through is going to allow that. That will quell or that will silence all conservative voices on the Internet, and they're going to use it to actually silence anybody talking about firearms on the Internet. If you don't know about this, you need to get your congressman to vote for H.R. 1212. It's been in committee since February. H.R. 1212 is called the Freedom... the Internet Freedom Act, and that was this takeover, is Obama FCC approved power grab to shut down and silence of opposition on the Internet. This is going to go into place June 12th this month if nobody.
All right. Well, that's very important for us to have heard, and I appreciate that. So we need to look into that. And I just want to reiterate what I brought up earlier before we even started our program tonight, that we've accomplished all the faxing that we wanted to accomplish. We've sent out 1.4 million plus pages, okay, out to elected officials across the nation. And so everybody has been put on notice. We're out of money for that now, and we do have more papers to go out. And what Michael is talking about right here with H.R. 1212, which is a necessity to go through, and I've got to go read that one. But if they're going to try to do something with the Internet on June 12th, we need to do something now. We need to write a paper and an order. We need to do it very short, one or two or three pages at most, and we need to fax it out. We have some other papers we still need to fax out. We need to do some conclusive things on the courts and a few other things. So, look, we need money to get this out. The faxes cost us over 20 grand or about 20 grand just to go out for faxes alone. You know, the mailing and the envelopes and the toner and everything was over $1,000. So, you know, it costs money to do this, and I'm not rich. I don't have the money. And we don't have some rich person giving us money, you know. We thankfully have people giving us money to make it through the month, but we don't have this extra money for faxes and mail. So please, look it. If you want to save America, that's another thing you need to do. Get out there, click on the donation page, give us $5 a month or 20 or 30 or whatever you can afford, or even a one-time gift of X amount of dollars. But let's, you know, get something going here. Let's keep these faxes going out. Let's keep the things going. And we definitely have to get a paper out on this problem that's potentially coming up on June 12th. Michael, if you can email me, maybe give me a call. You got my number. If you don't, 845-233-6560. But email me more information on this H.R. 1212 or specifically on this information concerning what you were just speaking about on June 12th that's coming up and who's giving that order and who's taking it over. I'd like to get details on that, and we need to do a paper. So please get me that info and give me a call if you have to.
That's a done deal.
John, already been passed.
That was approved back in February 26th, and so it goes into effect June 12th unless this gets passed, and it's been languishing in committee because those people like Boehner and McConnell, the spineless leaders of the Republican Party, have been balking and caving in right and left. That's why they let Loretta Lynch go through. So anyway,
Is that Robert, that voice? Then you got some info on this, Robert?
I said that bill has already been passed. That Internet Freedom Act, that's already been passed a couple months ago.
All right. Well, we're going to look into that. Mike, please get back to me like tomorrow if you can. I may be a little hard to get a hold of. I'm going to be gone either in the morning or the afternoon. I don't know which. I think in the morning. But try to get me in the morning. If you can't get me in the afternoon. And I'd like to get this information on whatever you have on this. This is an important thing. And listen, people, in order to fax this out, we need assistance. We need help. We need money. We need to fax this out and get this out onto the record. And we also need to mail this out to every federal court, so we need more money to do that. Again, we pay the full stamp value on these things. And the cheapest filing we did on a stamp level, you know, to the courts was 70 cents. Most of them ran about $1.91. It depends, of course, on the weight. We didn't want a chance going through with the 3 cents deal because this was too important. So we put the full value of money on the stamps for these things.
I don't mean to interrupt you, John, but I have to tell you this real quick story. I won't say the person's name to just keep their...
Yeah, real quick, because we got to get a few more people. We're over time, and I'm going to stay late, but go ahead.
Jade Helm, I know it's late. You're 9 o'clock hours here. This person contacted their assemblywoman from California. And this assemblywoman staffer, this is, I confirmed, was the Sacramento office, had someone in charge of Jade Helm mysteriously die in a freak accident last week. This was the staffer assigned as an expert to Jade Helm. And then also the staffer she was talking to, another female for this assemblywoman in California, stated and told her that, oh, yeah, and this assemblywoman has received death threats. So, now, of course, this assemblywoman's a Republican, but the point is that that was just kind of creepy, but I've called every assembly person in California, and they basically don't know anything about it. So that's because California now is no longer involved with this train exercise. But I just want to share that story. That's kind of creepy, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah, and we're hearing a lot of suicide bankers and news media, I mean, all kinds of people. You know, look it, we know what's going on. They can tell their little stories, but the evidence is overwhelming. The paper that we just read tonight is just overwhelming. We really have to be asleep at the wheel to not realize after you read that paper and look at that information, it's all documented, it's all got footnotes and everything in it. And we haven't even looked at the footnotes. There are footnotes on these papers. And it gives a tremendous more information and explanations of the meanings of things. We really have to be asleep. We really have to be retarded to not see what's coming down the pike. And that's why what this paper is put out to prevent this from going on. But we want to get a special thing about them playing with the Internet. Anybody in government that tries to take over that Internet, anybody who tries to shut down that Internet is the enemy of the people. That is our source of communications and information. And when that, you look at the first order of business in any war, first order of business is cut off communications. That's number one. Number two, cut off supplies. That's number two. Number three, demoralize your enemy. Those are the three things that they need to do. And look it, they're shutting down the Internet. And once they crash the dollar, they're cutting off our supplies, okay? And you throw an EMP up there and you shut off our vehicles, our mobilization, being able to mobilize or do anything, look it. And now it will be demoralized by the fact that we'll be seeing people dead in the streets. In the first 30 days, there's no doubt 25% or maybe even more than that of the American population will be dead.
All the more
reason
why people need to join a militia, get involved locally, and get ready to defend their turf, their area, because that's what NLA was started for. And Zuckerberg just went on the record stating he's going to throw millions in favor of amnesty to get more illegals in here. And all these people like Bill Gates who think we should be under a New World Order government, these nut jobs that are really rich, they've already got their deep underground military base position. They don't give a shit about you and me, the common
right.
man.
Oh, no, absolutely.
All
well,
about
look at
I'll tell
you how this
thank
you
for
is
sharing
going
to
end. Appreciate that. Look, I'm going to tell you how this is going to end. We win, and they're going to jail. That's how it's going to win. And I know that they use the Bible. I'm a Bible student for over 30 years, and I look down deep into the Bible, into the original language, going into the Greek and the Hebrew to try to understand God's Word, lining up line upon line, precept upon precept. And all of this BS out there about the destruction and that Christians are going to be tortured and they're going to be killed and the guillotines, all that is nothing but a bunch of lies. It's a bunch of lies. You read the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is a book of symbols. It basically is a synopsis of the entire Bible. And if you really want to understand it, you're going to have to read the whole Bible. And when you read the whole Bible, you'll find out that God always, always protects his children and saves them at the last moment. And he waits till the last moment. I mean, we have the picture of Moses, the last moment he waited for. Okay, I remember when they came to take Elijah, great armies came, surrounded the cities, and he walked out with no fear. And his servant came in and said, hey, look, they're coming to take you. They're going to kill you. And this guy said, don't worry about it. Take a look up into the mountains up there. And God opened his eyes, and he saw chariots of fire, angels ready and prepared to protect and save Elisha. Okay, and what does Elisha do? God blinds the people. He goes up to the enemy and says, you're in the wrong place. Let me show you where he's at. And he took him to a nation that was the enemies of there. They surrounded them, and the nation said to Elisha, because he knew that he was a prophet, and he said, are you bringing them here so you want us to kill them? They would have slaughtered the entire army that had surrounded them. And Elisha says, no, just feed them and send them home. And that's what they did, and they went home and forgot all about it. And that's the power of God. He could change the mind. He can blind people, and he will protect people. But he always waits till the last moment. Never does he permit for his children to be slaughtered. Never. You won't find one story in the entire Bible. He always saves them. But he brings them usually to the point when things are bad, and he'll bring things, hard times against them in order to bring repentance. And that's where we're at right now, the time of repentance. We need to turn to God because we won't win this thing without God. Our founding fathers knew it. They said it over and over and over again. This is God's battle. God will send the angels to protect us, to do the right thing. Okay? And that's what he's going to do. And what they have lost is they lost the real truth. You want to know what's really going to happen at the end of the world? Go read Isaiah chapter 14. and you read it line upon line, precept upon precept, and you'll know exactly how this whole thing's going to turn out. And that's why I feel reasonably confident about what I'm saying, that I don't believe in any way, shape, or form that we're going to end up where a lot of people think we're going to end up. I think there's a whole different thing. God says he's going to judge the nations of the world before he judges us individually. And that's what I believe, because he said it, and it's in his book. But he's hid it in his book. He hid it. And matter of fact, when we get back to our Bible studies, maybe that's what I'll be talking about. And this hopefully will build and edify people. And we just got to turn and trust in God. We only have one job, only one job to do, and that is to do the right thing. That's all we need to do. Every moment there's a decision to be made. Just do the right thing, no matter how simple or how complex, no matter how small, no matter how big. Just do the right thing, and let's just go forward. Only the people are going to save this nation, only the people, and only by the grace of God. So if we don't have the principles, if we don't have the pillars of wisdom, if we do not have the principles necessary to do the right thing, a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy, if we don't have those things, we will never develop the necessary things in order to save this nation. This is up to God to do, but it's up to you to do the right thing. Sound the alarm and just do the right thing, and we'll all be okay. It's that simple. All right, Mike, I'm going to move on. I appreciate it. We're going to stay late, maybe just a few more minutes. Maybe we can get a minute or two with a few people, and then we're going to close down. But we will be back next Monday, and we got a lot to share. But let's go to another question or two, and then we'll shut down. Thanks, Mike. Jonathan, 720, you got the mic. Try to keep it short. We'll try to get on as many people as possible. Jonathan. Jonathan Rourke, I think it is, or Rook, Rocky. 720, Jonathan. Last call for Jonathan. Jim from Missouri, you got the mic. Hold on. Jim from Missouri. How come that's not going? I just lost Jim.
Hi, John. Jason from Jersey.
Jason from Jersey. How come he didn't get unmuted here on this side? I lost Jim.
No
I'm sorry.
Idea.
But go ahead. Make it quick, Jason, because we want to get a couple people on.
All right. With all the PR that's going out, is it possible to get that those PR pieces to to us, the membership, so we can see it and then be redundant and send it out to in our state so we can keep the flow of the notices onto the news media, if that's
when you
possible.
Say PR, you talk about press release.
The press release. You're sending out stuff to the. You're sending out news articles. I'd like to be able to have.
Well, no,
that.
No. We're sending out information. I'll post the information if it makes sense. I'll go take a look to see what we wrote for these people. I'll post it, and if I don't post it, you can give me a call on Skype or something, and I'll give you a copy or something of what we wrote in there. But basically, we referred to the papers is what we did do. Look at. If any news media calls anybody, because they will get your addresses and maybe a phone number or something through the paper that we sent in, which lists the addresses to all of the grand juries in every state. And if anybody gets a call from the media, don't give them any opportunity. Look, everything they need to know, they got. Just send them to the website. Look, read the papers. That's all we have to say. You want to know what? We're not going to interpret it for you. Go read it. It speaks for itself. You see, the moment you start speaking, they're going to twist your words. If you refer them back to the papers, because that's all they need to do is report on the papers, okay, and you refer them back there and they start lying, it's clear because the paper is there to rebuke them, to say, hey, wait a second, they lied about it. They didn't say this. Look at the paper. You see, but if they can get you to get talking, they'll say, oh, Joe said this and Mary said that and Frank said this and look, these are a bunch of idiots. These people are sovereign citizens. They're crazies. They're conspiracy theorists and they should be in a mental institution. And, you know, that's all they're going to do. So don't give them any opportunity. I will not speak to them. I will defer them back to the paperwork. You want to know what we're doing, what's going on, what we're talking about? Go to the paperwork. Besides that, you can make the claim, especially if you're coming to make the decision. Tomorrow, we are going to consider an indictment on three judges out there in Utah. And anybody who comes, we usually get a couple hundred people easy to come to those meetings, and we take our vote, and it's over with, and it's done. Okay? Well, now you're sitting on a grand jury. All of us are actually sitting on the grand jury in order for this time in process to get through into the courts, whatever we have to do, and we are considering indictments as we move along in order to get the authority that the people deserve to have and the right back to their courts, bringing justice back into the system. And this is what we're about. And so we are that grand jury. So look at, I'm on an active grand jury. I can't talk to you about the case. If you want to know the results and the situations and the conclusions and of the matter, go out there and read those papers. Here they are. Give them the website, click on media, and read to your heart's content. We got lots of stuff out there. All right, but I will get you the wording that I did use. I'll try to post that somewhere, and we'll see if that makes sense to post it somewhere. And if not, you know, give me a call, and I'll give you that. And everybody should get this out. All right, I got to move to the next caller because we are really, really over time. Thanks a lot.
Hi, good evening. Lynn Lombardozzi, National Liberal Alliance, Pennsylvania.
How you doing, Lynn?
Thank you all for being here. I am waiting on my habeas corpus that I asked for about 6 weeks. They are planning on kicking me out of my house of 15 and a half years I have paid for this weekend. I am here alone, completely alone.
Okay, well, if you're waiting for a habeas corpus, are you talking with Greg?
I have called there. He hasn't returned any of my calls over, like, the last week and a half.
All right, well, he has been overwhelmed. I know he hasn't been around much over the weekend, but do give him a call. And look, I'll tell you, we have a lot of people who have asked for habeas corpuses or certain things, and then we don't get all the information we need. Maybe he doesn't have all the information. But,
and that's what I'm asking toward, what else he needs, you know,
right. The key thing is this, is he's got a sheet of questions, and we have to get the answer to all those things. You need to get us the docket. Your case docket, and then you also need to get us whatever sworn affidavits you did. And then you have to make one sworn affidavit telling the whole story, bringing it together, and get that to us. When we get all that together, we can then act upon it. And depending on how tied up we get, I mean, we could respond in a couple of days and get it done and out. Of course, if we got 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 of them to do, and they finally get all the paperwork in, and we get swamped that way, you know, it could take a little while. But we'll do it as fast as we can. But if the ball's in your court right now, call Greg.
I explained him the situation with my computer also, because I don't have any ink, I don't have any paper, I can't buy a square of toilet paper. They have.
Okay, but we cannot do anything without what I just said. You can go to the library and use the computer there to get the information. You can write it up on a word processor right on the computers there, and you can print it out right at their computers. And you could probably type up your affidavit right on their computers. Maybe
no,
they'll
I don't even
your
have
four
a means to get
cents.
To a library.
All right, well, then there's nothing we can do for you. I don't know. I mean, I can't make up your case. I have to know what your case is in order to do a paperwork on it. Greg has to know what, if they're going to do the paperwork, they need to know what your case is.
He had an individual, and I will keep the name out of it, but she was cursing at me, and very nasty, very
no,
nasty.
No one with us, with us, with
me.
Our group, with our group?
Yes,
and
I sent him. Then she was writing and continued to email me this stuff,
right,
and
listen,
I sent it to Greg.
Listen, you call me tomorrow. You've got my phone number, I'm sure. I just read it out. I'll read it again if you need so. You call me tomorrow. We'll get Greg on the line. We'll get this person on the line that you say is cursing. We won't have that. If
I sent him. I sent him her emails.
Well, look, if this is true, we're gonna settle that problem, okay? So call me tomorrow. I'm going to move on to the next caller. Call me tomorrow, 845-233-6560. If you try me in the morning, if you don't get me in the morning, try me in the afternoon. I have to run out tomorrow, but I don't know whether I'm running in the morning or I'm running in the afternoon yet. I don't know. So call me at both times and you'll get me. All right, with that, we're going to take our next caller, and we'll see what we can do for you, Lynn.
Thank you.
Wireless caller is the next caller, 760, wireless caller.
Hi, John, California, Dave.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Good. I just want to briefly express the appreciation to you guys and to Ray from Arizona and to Michael from California. Anybody from District 13 listening, just really stay plugged in and stay close to us, and we will prevail. Back to you.
Amen. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, Dave. Okay, Paul, 860, you got the mic. We're only going to be another couple of minutes, and we're going to shut down. Paul, we're way, way over time. Paul, 860. Paul, going once.
Yes. Hello. Hello.
Yes.
Yes, sir. I just want to say, John, this is Tammy Stroud in Connecticut. You did a great job, NLA, assisting me with, you know, a terrible situation here. I've been listening to you for the last few weeks, and then I see the tapes for the last 2+ years, and, you know, I got to humbly say I certainly respect all your efforts, and you give me a lot of confidence to try to help other people in my state of Connecticut, which is being victimized unbelievably here. And I was calling about the 1,000 signatures. Is I don't see that on the website anymore like I used to on the
podcast. Yeah, we had the million signatures, and we haven't really been pushing it. We haven't really had a committee to push it. We do have somebody who's going to set something up electronically, and we hopefully maybe we'll get that going this week. I don't know. But if we can get that moving, we'll reset it back up there again and do it electronically. It's just not going to work on paper. We tried to squeeze a lot of names on papers, and then we tried 20 on a page, and we realized that's not going to work. I mean, we'd have so thousands and thousands of papers. Then we pushed it to 100, and that was kind of tiny. Then we dropped it back to 80. But then people are having paper sending in with 2 signatures on it, and that's not working either. I mean, there's no way we can even afford to print out, 300,000 pages in order to get the signatures, or even just scanning them in. We'll be here for weeks scanning them in. So we're going to have to do this electronically. What papers we did collect we'll use, but right now and we'll scan them in and add it into the whole group. But in any event, as soon as we get electronically set up, we'll do it. It's not all that important. I didn't think so, but it's an extra thing. So if we can get to that and get it done, then we're going to do it. With the people coming in, the new people learning and coming in now, because I think we're really going to start to get a landslide into this to rally around this paper. At least if people want to save America, this is the paper to rally about. Look, we the people spoke. We've given orders. We've laid out the position. We've exposed their evil. We turned on the lights, and we've given the orders how to correct this thing, and now we're going to go to it. There's always going to be a silence before the storm. It's always the way it is. Okay, and if you're in the eye of the storm, which is we're in the eye of the storm, okay, there's a silence, and that's what we're going to be met with for a little while. Maybe a week or a little more time of silence, and then all of a sudden the storm is going to hit. And that's what's going to happen. And we will prevail, and the storm that's going to hit, I think, is really going to be the saving of America.
Well, I happen to agree with you. You know, I have a lot of trust in the good Lord, and I just want to say that there's a lot of blue-collar workers here in Connecticut that are being dumbed down so badly, the people working 20 hours here, 20 hours there with no benefits because of the Affordable Care Act. A lot of people are being silenced in ways that you would not believe, and there is a lot of great pride in having a job, and people are trying to do their best, but they're being silenced, and it's just the worst crime you can imagine. You know, of course, you know, with the NAFTA, a lot of jobs have left the state of Connecticut and probably other states as well. But the people, you know, they give you the shirt off their back, but there's just no new shirt to put on. And it's just a broken-hearted story here. And I'm glad that I have a voice and that I continue to look for people who will help. And because I have a voice, that is why I was a victim, because I fight for the underdog. I receive no services myself, yet I can't get a... I seem to be blackballed to have a 40-hour-a-week job here because they want to have you in the system so that you are a commodity to the white-collar people who are, you know, running things, and they want you in the system so the funding goes up to the top and never trickles down. And there's too many good people at the bottom, and I just don't feel that they have the voice. I think I thought the 1,000 signatures, in my opinion, It's desperately needed.
Right. Well, it's 1 million signatures we're seeking, and we're hoping to even go beyond that. But that was going to be our goal, was 1 million signatures. You know, these people act to numbers. But look, we are a force to be reckoned with. And You know, we are one of the largest liberty groups out there. I mean, there are larger ones than ours, of course, and but they've all been really taken over. They're controlled. They really don't do anything. But we are literally one of the largest groups out there on the Internet, and we are active. We're very active. And, you know, where do you go where the founders of any kind of a movement actually make themselves available once a week, 3 hours a week, to answer questions and any question? Any question. We don't care what the questions is, and we'll answer them all. And if we don't know the answers, we'll tell you we don't know the answers, and we'll find them. But look, we're here with the solution, and that's the key. And that's what makes us different from any other liberty group. And we're really not a group. We are the people. Because, look, National Liberty Alliance, again, is a facilitator. And all the people that become members of National Liberty Alliance are here in order to form the process and get the necessary tools and the things that they need in order to take control of their counties when the time comes. And we are literally trying to bring this to that grassroots level to empower the people in every county. In the case of National Liberty Alliance, find four people in every single county and train them with all the necessary tools and information they need in order to execute the necessity of an administrative process within their county to control the courts, to bring grand juries and trial juries that are untainted, that will really sit on principles and bring justice back into the courts and prevent these men in black robes from stealing our justice, from stealing our America, from stealing our republic. And that's what we're doing, and that's what we're about. And when people are free, we will control nobody. They got to control themselves, because if they don't control themselves, I will prophesy for you right now that we're going to lose. If you don't come in principles, you're going to lose, and we're all going to... Well, I think God's going to shut down places that don't come in principles, because I think it's time for him to judge the nations, and we may be playing a role in that. But I don't know. But one way or the other, God said he's going to judge the nations before he ends the world and before he judges the individual. And I think we're in that time, and it's referred to in the Bible as the days of thunder. So I think we might very well be in that time period. I think... it's time for judgment. It's time to end the insanity. And I'll say it again. Only the people can save America.
Yeah. John, I happen to be in agreement with you. And it's unconscionable how destroying people's livelihoods. And I just got to tell you that I think the courtroom observers and the calling to all the parties when the phones come out. However, I must tell you that I'm not getting any emails that I was getting to put out the phone calls to help out the courtroom observers, and I hope that you can look into that. I think Eric Hughes Jones is an amazing person, and we're all under a little bit of trials right now, and I'm just praying for prosperity across the board for all people trying to, you know, get the, you know, let the Lord open up the paths for us. And I just want to say, on a humble note, I thank you so much for your dedication. I have such great confidence. And because I feel that the people that I'm connected with at this point are who the Lord wants me to be working with. And it's really all about helping the people get their livelihoods back. And I know the good Lord's on our side. So thank you so much, sir.
Well, amen. And remember, he's not on our side. We're on his side. And that's the key to this whole thing. We have to do it his way. So, amen. All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, we're going to end tonight's program. God bless everyone. Good night. We'll see you next Monday. Well, and hopefully we'll see you all tomorrow, as many people as possible coming to consider this indictment on these three judges. Let's do what we have to do. Only the people can save America. Let's do it. Good night. Thank you.